All right, Joel Radio, welcome in. Happy New Year. It's 2014 here on Joel Radio. Joel Fragamenti, your host, Corey Hall, sitting here with me today.
Hey, hey, hey.
Going to get our big TV show today. Not a TV show, a big podcast, but our show will be discussing television almost exclusively today, with one or two exceptions. And that's a good thing.
Wait a second. You're trying to tell me that two fat comedians are going to talk about television?
We are. But
where can I find such a joy on the internet?
Know. Well, I don't
two
want...
Two fat comedians talking about television.
Yeah.
It's never been done.
Never been done.
Never been done.
Yeah.
Innovative.
You can't get this anywhere.
Breaking news.
Well, I've got just me personally. I have my top 10 shows for 2013. I have some shows that did make my 2013 list.
Now, what are we calling this show? Boob tubing?
I don't know. You know what?
Idiot boxing.
We've done these, and I've done like TV puns so many times. I probably have to go back and look.
Yeah.
So as not to reuse the title of a previous show.
Flatline, flat screening.
You know, I don't know.
What?
Well, if you come up with one.
Now, theoretically, this is the best and worst of television.
Theoretically.
I got to tell you, my best of television is about this big.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, my list of shows is very slim, and I know, like, last year when we did this, what I did is I dragged out last year's list off of the word processor, and I just kind of, like, crossed out three things, wrote three new things in, and said, there you go. You know, shuffled the order a little bit. But I've also got a lot of stuff here. I've got a list of shows that I quit.
Yeah.
I've got a list of shows that I used to watch that I don't watch anymore, not because they don't suck, but just because there's no time.
Uh-huh.
I've got list of shows that I watch some episodes of and I can't determine how great they are yet.
Yeah.
I've got that list. I've got my list of the best of late night. I've got that list. I got a lot of lists.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through all that today.
All right. It's
going to be a good time.
Good.
Good. What do you have for a list?
I had a list written down.
Was it last year's list, though?
Well, no, I had a list and I realized I now left it in the other computer bag. But I will...
Well, I'll tell you, you go get that. You come back in an hour, and then I'll have gone through my list.
No, it's good. I can do
it's
it
fine.
Off my...
Well, you know what? Here's
I'll
the thing.
I'll put it out of my head.
I'm going to be giving my things. Most of these you've at least seen.
Yeah.
And then you can throw in your additions to that, and
sure.
That'll be a list. That'll be what we're talking about.
Let's do it.
Sounds good to me. All right. Well, let's get going.
It's all up here in this steel trap, Joel.
Oh, I know. I can tell. There's so much information, the hair can't grow.
That's
the part of the head that would be
is.
Growing well, hair is full of arcane this, television.
The frontal
knowledge.
Lobe here, the
yeah,
frontal lobe, the
absolutely.
Cerebral cortex,
yeah,
is pulsating.
Sure,
with so many neuronal impulses,
right?
The neurons
right.
are firing. The electricity,
I know.
Sheared my hair. Right
sure,
off.
All of your television knowledge is so big, your head can't hold it, and so it made your nose bigger. It started growing out of your face,
right.
into your big schnoz.
Mm-hmm.
That also is a possibility.
That how dare you?
You know, if my belly held knowledge, I'd be the smartest man in the world. But anyway.
It's very true.
Here we go.
God, you know, they say your nose gets bigger as you get older.
They say your ears and nose never stop growing.
And I don't have any room to grow this.
You got, you're going to have the giant.
You know, my cousin sent me, like, baby pictures of me. Like,
uh-huh.
she, for Christmas, in her Christmas card,
mm-hmm.
she was like, oh, I found these pictures of you when you were three.
Yeah.
And it was very nice. And sweet. It was a sweet little thing
yeah.
for her to do. And I said, why exactly? I looked at my nose and it was a tiny, delicate child
little,
nose.
Little thing.
And I said,
what happened?
I had a normal looking face as a kid. And now,
well, it's like, you know, I think humans are kind of like puppies. You ever see pup? Like, you can't tell. They say you can't tell Chihuahua puppies from Great Dane puppies. That
really?
As they get older, they develop all the traits that are make them recognizable.
I think you can tell species.
You know,
you know what I saw
well,
recently?
Well, the dogs are the same species, though. All dogs are the same species.
Well, I mean the breeds.
They're breeds, yeah.
You know what I saw recently, which I'd never seen before?
What's that?
A friend showed me. She works at a vet clinic, and then
yeah.
somebody brought in a St. Bernard puppy.
Okay.
This thing...
Yeah,
it was a puppy.
Yeah.
And it was already giant. It had
well,
these,
yeah, but I'm saying like
these
newborn,
giant paws.
Newborn puppies.
Yeah,
right, newborn
yeah.
puppies. All right. Well, let's get in. Fuck dogs. Let's get into TV shows. Let's go. So maybe I'll just start with my, okay, do you want to do, well, here's what I think we should do. Well, here's, I'm going to give you my number 10 show, and that will sidetrack us into another area, and then we'll come back to
okay.
my top 10
all
shows.
Right.
Because my number 10 show is going to open
a
can of worms.
We're gonna, now, you're going to take us through, are we also going to do a separate list of the late night shows?
Well, that's where I'm going, so
okay.
you're way ahead
all
of
right.
me. You're
okay.
way ahead of me.
All right.
Back off. Put the brakes on,
I just want to lay this out. I'm going to... Well, let's brew planner for everybody.
No, that's what I'm saying. My number 10 show, I picked a late night television show.
Oh.
At number 10. Now, I've done that, though, for... And I'm telling you why I like this show.
Yeah.
But my number 10 best TV show of 2013 is Conan. Now, I'm telling you why it's Conan.
Yeah.
My reason for picking Conan is, and this is what sort of led me to the whole late night thing, is I said, what I liked about Conan was his bits, meaning the bits after the monologue. You know, Conan sits down at the desk, he introduces a pre-taped thing usually. Sometimes some other guy will come out and do the bit with him or something. But, you know... I think Conan does those the best, especially now has something he does called Clueless Gamer, which is where he plays a game. I think the best bit I saw hear him do is when he went to E3 and played all the new games and interviewed all the gaming industry people.
Conan was doing a bit for a while where he was just playing old games and sucking at them, right?
Yeah, well, it's Clueless Gamer. Yeah. But it now is sort of taken on a life of its own. It has its own spot on his website. It's become a big deal, and I think it's hilarious. I mean, if you saw him go to E3 and he was interviewing like the guy who does the voice of Mario and basically accused him of being a homo. It was very funny.
Mario.
It was great. I don't even want to ruin it.
Who is the guy that did the voice?
A guy named Charles Martinet, who's an actor and is probably a homo, but Conan kind of, you know, went like, you know, you never get women, do you? You know, it was very much you know, it was real funny, and he picked on the guy from Xbox, Major Nelson, who's kind of a real tool. As I mentioned in my Assholes of the Year, the Xbox executives, he's one of those guys, and he's a real jerk off, and Conan kind of made him look bad. So it was really funny. And,
by the way, if you haven't listened to the Assholes of the Year,
yeah, that's a great show too.
We're gonna have to do a Assholes of the Year update.
Yeah, probably.
Because in the time that we recorded that, like 2 weeks ago.
Well, we recorded 2 weeks before the end of 2013.
Okay, so we recorded around Christmas time.
Yeah, before Christmas. A lot of shit went down.
There have been a plethora of assholes that have emerged.
Oh, even in 2014, we've already got assholes.
I'm saying we have a stockpile of assholes.
I mean, Rodman, right up there for
Dennis
2014.
Dennis Rodman's got to be.
Hot pick for 2014.
Hot pick.
I mean, Chris Christie, potentially, it looks like.
He's in the middle of a scandal.
So who knows? But anyway, so let me go back to Conan. He also did a thing where he played Grand Theft Auto 5, and that was very funny.
Okay.
Because he just decided he wanted to hang out in the strip club, which was funny. So it's great. Conan, and then that's where I got into my late night ranking, the late night shows. Now, we've always given our opinion on late night, and it's about to change again because they're getting rid of Jay Leno for Jimmy Fallon, which I don't agree with, and I've actually been watching Leno lately.
Yeah.
Kind of going like, you know, I'm going to miss this lame ass Leno show.
Are you really?
I kind of am, in a sense. But anyway, so I decided to say, well, I like Conan.
Now, I want to ask before we proceed.
Yeah.
What have you done with Joel?
Yeah, no.
Where is he?
Well, listen, I'm going to get to Jimmy Fallon and Leno in 1 second. Let me just go through this. And you give me your opinion on these. Because I picked Conan, and I went like, I don't even watch Conan every night. In fact, a lot of times I sometimes just download those Clueless Gamer clips and just go, oh, those are funny. So I try to watch Conan when it's on, but if I don't see it, I don't feel like I missed it. But
I don't catch Conan very often because I have to. You have to actively...
Yeah.
Kind of remind yourself where TBS is on your cable
at 11 o'clock. I mean, it gets replayed, but it's still
on at 1. Yeah. So I kind of intermittently watch Conan. I never sit down and go, Conan's on, and it's ready to watch it.
Well, but that's what I sort of figured out is I go, well, look, I don't really like Conan all the way through, but I like that part of Conan, and I like that the best. And I go like, well, let me pick out the best parts of the late night talk show. So I've identified the hour-long network shows, which are there's four of them, two on actually there's five of them. There's two on CBS, two on NBC, and Jimmy Kimmel on ABC. Then you got Conan on TBS. I'm not counting Jon Stewart. I'm not counting the other guy on there,
Stephen Colbert.
I don't count him. I don't count Chelsea Handler.
You're not doing that.
Not doing that. I'm only counting the traditional format.
Because
talk shows
now, a couple of them have.
You
gotten,
can count Arsenio if you want.
Well, I think
I don't.
I think a couple of the shows have gotten canceled.
Yeah,
but there were, I think, at one point 17 different late night shows.
W. Kamau Bell or whoever that guy is.
That guy's canceled.
Guy's gone. So
W. Kamau Bell
and
I feel bad for that guy because we don't have
Russell Brand had a show.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how did they cancel my show?
That's a good goddamn question. So.
I actually kind of liked Russell Brand's show in a weird way.
Wasn't he just like standing in an improv theater talking off the top of his head?
He had a desk.
Okay.
It was kind of a desk.
I think I watched the first one and it was really bad.
It wasn't really a
full
set. It was kind of like he had a desk on a stage.
Yeah.
Like it's surrounded by an audience. But he brought on like the guys from what's the Fred Phelps church?
Oh, I know the one you're talking
about. The God Hates Facts
Church.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
I can't think of the name
of it. I can't either, but
whatever.
The God Hates Facts Church is enough to identify it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever the New Church Baptist, whatever. So he brought a couple of those guys on, and that was interesting.
Okay.
I like, because that's like,
well,
nobody does that
shit
anymore.
Russell wasn't doing a traditional format. So I'm talking traditional format where they have these identifiable things. Let me go through this right now, if I will.
Okay.
So I've decided that best monologue. In my opinion, if I have to watch the monologue, now these guys are on at different times, so you can watch a couple monologues. I went with Jimmy Kimmel having the best monologue.
No.
And Kimmel doesn't even do a standard monologue. He shows a lot of video clips and talks about them. But I always find that Kimmel gets some good laughs doing that.
Yeah.
And I know that Leno does probably the most jokes of anyone. But I also think that Leno's jokes don't usually work. And then Letterman does jokes, but Letterman kind of doesn't care. Ferguson, who fucking knows what Ferguson does? That'll be a theme throughout this rundown. Ferguson doesn't seem to give a shit.
Yeah.
And Conan's monologue, again, not a comic. He kind of just is up there winging it, telling a few jokes because he has to. Doesn't really seem to care about that part of the show. So I think Kimmel puts the most into his monologue that works.
Kimmel's,
so I go with Kimmel's monologue.
Kimmel's monologue is a little... It's. Do you want to know I got to rank mine,
well,
too?
Just, who's the best?
I would go... in a weird way with Ferguson, because his monologue, you have no idea of knowing what's going to happen in it. Everybody else goes up. Leno goes up and does 15 jokes that have been...
You've already heard them on the internet, probably.
That have been
some
written,
version,
written by Hack Comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Leno has a system in which guys send him jokes, right?
Well, but he also has a room full of guys that write them. I mean, they all have a room full of guys.
He's
that
got
write
well. Ferguson doesn't seem to apparently have a room full of writers because
he could use a car full of writers. I don't know if he needs a room full, but
he could use a couple of writers. But he goes up there and pretty much freeforms his monologue, and I find it more interesting. Than the typical, did you see what Rob Ford did today?
I get that. I get that,
and that
that's
is,
lame.
Leno has got...
And I get that that's lame.
And everybody thinks Leno's got the greatest monologue.
Well, Leno comes out. You know what he does now? You're going to see this next week, too. Next Monday, if you tune in. All the teams that lost in the playoffs, he'll have a joke about in the NFL playoffs.
When is he done, officially?
Like in a month, like beginning of February.
When are we finally done with the Jay Leno era?
I'm going to be sad, and we'll get more into that. All right,
you're
going to
be
on.
Sad?
I
get the... Who are you?
Jimmy Fallon is the worst thing in the history of television. So we're going to get to that. Okay.
All right.
Then I said, bus post monologue bits. This is Leno does headlines.
Yeah.
Letterman will send a Rupert G somewhere or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Larry Bud Melman. I think he's dead now, but he used to do that. Whatever. He used to talk to the guys at the...
Calvert DeForest.
He used Larry to talk Bud at Melman. The guys at the
Letterman is a shadow.
The tourist shop next door.
Letterman show is kind of a shadow of what it used to be.
So I went with Conan. As I said, best post-monologue bits.
Okay.
I think that's Conan. Jimmy Fallon reads Twitter, which is interminably lame every time he fucking does it. It's just failure all the way around.
He does his...
He'll bring out audience members to play games, and it just sucks.
Okay, that is, to me, the strongest part of Fallon's show is his post-monologue bits.
I agree with you. But it's also awful, and it's the best part of his show, and it's almost unwatchable. So there you go.
Okay.
So I'm saying that, and you're saying who's has the best bits?
I would say Ferguson. I would pick for monologue, followed by
because Ferguson will read the fan mail. That's kind of his shtick, right?
The post monologue bit.
I mean, they're at the desk. They're doing a bit before the first guest comes
out. Ferguson's show has really evolved into just weird randomness.
Okay.
Because it used to be he would do sketches.
Yeah.
He would do, like, the Prince Charles, and now he doesn't really even have bits.
Right.
It's like there's a horse, there's a robot.
Okay.
They kind of schlep around. So I couldn't call his things bits. So I would probably say I would agree with you that Conan has the best.
He has the most inventive sort of
bits.
Because he'll do stuff, and that includes Triumph. That would be included in post monologue bits.
And then I'd probably go Letterman, Fallon.
Letterman will do funny stuff sometimes.
Letterman still can do some
And
bits.
I'll enjoy headlines with Leno. I'll enjoy that. And Leno does dumb products.
Kimmel, I hate Kimmel's post monologue bits
because it's usually his cousin,
it's cousin Sal,
or he's got an aunt now that he has.
Thank God Uncle Frank died.
Uncle Frank is dead.
I'm sorry. Uncle Frank seemed like a wonderful guy.
He'll send Guillermo to like a Star Wars audition.
I can't have Guillermo.
Exactly. So I agree with you. So I think you go with Conan on this.
I would go with Conan and then Letterman and then Fallon, then Kimmel, then Leno. With his fucking headlines, can go to hell.
Headlines is the best thing because it's the least written thing that he does. In
the jaywalking, and then
jaywalking's not great.
Tim Stack yells at somebody.
Tim Stack is kind of funny at the gas pump, but anyway, okay. So we both agree, Conan. Best guest interviews. I'm giving that to Letterman. I think we can. I agree with Letterman, and that's also quality of guest booking. You could consider that as well. Because Letterman generally gets A guests, whereas Ferguson is maybe getting B and C level guests.
The thing with Ferguson is he generally gets his friends, or like he'll get minor league players or kind of a recurring cast of like
he has
Kristen Bell. People come on to.
There's
Ferguson.
A handful of actresses that he sits there and flirts with.
Yeah, Kristen. What's the one from Sex and the City?
Oh, I don't know. Sarah Jessica Parker. No,
Parnell? the brunette.
Oh, I don't even
Kristen
know.
Kristen Davis.
Yeah, and he has.
He's about ready to fuck her. Every time she comes
the
on.
The Gilmore Girls. He always raps to her.
Lauren Graham. There's a couple girls, and you're right. He's got a stable of about six girls that he flirts with.
He flirts with them, yeah.
A couple of them, I really think, like, okay.
He's a married man, so.
I know, but when you watched So Was Johnny.
Yeah, I know.
And the big thing now, and it was in that Johnny Carson book. And it's been in every special about Carson.
Who did Johnny bang?
Angie Dickinson.
Okay, but she banged Larry King, too. So.
Was like, but like, you now watch those old Carson clips, and Angie Dickinson's coming on there.
No,
and you,
Diane Cannon for Johnny?
Probably.
No,
Letterman used to have Sarah Jessica Parker come
Terry
on.
Terry Garr was the big
Terry
one.
Terry Garr.
For a long time.
Bonnie
yeah.
Hunt.
Yeah.
And they all would come on and kind of flirt with Letterman.
Yeah, yeah.
But Letterman's such a weird...
Yeah.
Ferguson, you can actually picture fucking somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Right, yeah.
Right? You can just actually picture him getting his Scottish bit, working on his chicks. Letterman, it's that weird disconnect where you're like, really?
Can we agree Leno never banged anybody?
Leno's never...
Or do you think Leno...
This Mavis... sometimes I stick my dick in the exhaust port of my 56 Edsel. They're beautiful exhaust.
You don't think Leno tried to throw Brooke Shields one or some old actress?
Leno's,
or some
nothing. You know what? Okay, all right. Since Kennedy, right, the presidency has morphed into a different thing, right? The presidents have all gotten handsomer and younger, except Nixon. Leno is the Nixon of talk show hosts.
Right.
You could never picture Nixon having a sex scandal.
Okay.
Because who would fuck him?
Right.
And I just feel that way with Leno. Now,
girls were fucking Letterman. Letterman was fucking girls. He was fucking his staff.
I think Jay Leno, when he was a comic, I think dated some
chicks. Well, he banged... Sharon Osbourne was a waitress at the Comedy Store.
Okay.
And he banged her.
Has he been married to Mavis since like 1974?
He's been married to Mavis, and Mavis might have been a waitress too. I can't remember.
Yeah. But, do you even ever see Mavis or anything? She's
You can find pictures of Mavis, but
not that you see Letterman's wife. Not that you see anybody's wife very often.
All right.
Kimmel married a broad on his staff.
Yeah. Well, Letterman did too. Wife was on his staff.
Are we talking? We're ranking interviewers.
I'm saying just for the interviews themselves, most entertaining, quality of guest. I go with Letterman. I would say, if I had to rank them, I'd say Letterman, Kimmel, Ferguson. I mean, Conan's okay, too. I mean, Conan's in there. Conan's not bad.
I don't like Conan's interviews for a reason.
Fallon kind of lasted. Well,
Fallon's the worst interview.
Fallon's, I was going to say Fallon's worse at everything, but Ferguson's worse than Fallon at some stuff.
I would put Fallon's post-monologue bits higher than Ferguson.
Okay.
I think Fallon has some talent. You hate him completely.
For guests, you can't pick Fallon for guests.
No. Well, because Fallon's the worst interviewer in the world.
Right.
And this is going to kill this show. It's worse than Leno.
That's what I think.
Leno's
that's why I hate. That's why I think it's going to ruin. That's why I'm going to miss Leno.
Because
Leno at least is the show of record. Leno is at least the guy people go to when they have something to say. You know, George Bush was just on Leno, and it was entertaining
now,
to have him on.
I know it's a slightly different format, so we're not counting them. I think Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert do good interviews.
Okay.
If you watch just their interviews, they actually have, they're funny and they get, they might actually get something interesting out of somebody, but they have short segments where they only talk to guys for 5 minutes.
Okay, so.
Letterman, I'm with you. He's the best interviewer.
Okay.
Because you might actually get something interesting out of Letterman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he might just ask a random question or push somebody in a different direction.
Yeah.
I hate Conan's interviews because he's not Conan when he's interviewing.
Yeah.
He's...
Yeah.
He's a... This is the...
He becomes a caricature, sort of.
Conan does a character when he's interviewing, and the character is, I'm going to make the guests seem outrageous.
Yeah.
And I'm going to act shocked and appalled at everything they say, which is not what Conan really is.
Yeah, Conan, yeah, I get what you're saying.
And if you see his monologue, he has a different tone from his monologue and his interviews.
Right.
And I don't like that about Conan. I really don't like that. And I like Conan in general.
Conan acts stupid.
He acts
dumb. He gets the guess, and then he acts like I'm a dumb, horny teenager instead of I'm a sophisticated comedian, which he'll do in his monologue and he'll do it in his bits.
Which, you know, Conan is the smartest
guy. He is the smartest
guy,
I know.
Most of the time.
But he doesn't want to like show up his guest by being smart.
Once in a while.
When Letterman's smarter than a guest, he lets you know it.
Right.
You know, Letterman will not... give ground in a sense.
When he's got a dumb bimbo on there,
yeah,
Letterman will show pain.
Right.
That he has to talk to Kaley Cuoco for the 15th time because she's on CBS and he's getting pumped with CBS guests.
Yeah.
Or he'll show actual interest in somebody.
Sure.
Ferguson will show interest in somebody if, you know what I mean?
The best was a couple of years ago, the Joaquin Phoenix thing with Letterman. That was Letterman at his best when he was just like, what the fuck is the matter
Screw
with you?
You.
Yeah, this is the dumbest. He just showed his displeasure. A guy came on
and did a shtick on the show, and he wasn't having it.
And he wasn't having it.
And Letterman will also call out, like, O'Reilly or somebody if he comes on the show.
Sure, yeah.
Or someone just he doesn't
but he's
like.
He's famous for interviewing Paris Hilton, because he kind of looks at Paris Hilton and just
He turns it into a joke.
Yeah, he goes, you know, you're just, you know.
He does not intend. He doesn't sit there and try and interview Paris Hilton like it's a real interview.
Right, yeah.
He makes her a spectacle.
Yeah.
And that's. Masterful.
Yeah.
That's when, you're right, the interviews are
Letterman,
the best part of
Letterman. Here's the thing about Letterman. He's never a mark for the people on his show. He's never starstruck by the guest. Whereas Jimmy Fallon constantly is starstruck by the guest.
Hey, pal.
I mean, Leno will do it because Leno knows his role. Leno will act like it's a big deal because it's a big deal. But he's never, you know, he never does that. Letterman. He's always.
How do you sit for 30 years on a show in which you talk to celebrities?
Yeah.
And be impressed by people.
You don't, but, you know, Jimmy's got an awe.
I mean,
oh, man, it's so great to talk to you.
Well, Fallon's the biggest suck-ass. Leno is the suck-ass number two, right? Just slightly ahead of Fallon.
Right. But I like that Kimmel. I like that Kimmel will, you know, pull back the veil sometimes, and he'll talk about, we were out to dinner the one time. Do you remember that? And he'll tell some story that sort of, you know, would maybe be off limits to other guys. So Kimmel's good like that.
A big get for Ferguson is like Tom Lennon.
Yeah.
So Ferguson never has
Ferguson
anybody,
doesn't have good guests. And I'm considering that in who has
He never gets
the best
anybody good, but I like his interviews because they're kind of funny
Ferguson's
and spontaneous.
Okay. Yeah, I get it's a little different, Ferguson. But again,
he's doing a different format.
I think Letterman does the best ones there. And then the last category,
Kimmel's interviews are kind of...
They're okay. I mean,
well, the best one was when he had Kanye on and he got an argument.
Sure.
Kimmel will only once in a great while show somebody up.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Which is another thing it's annoying. I think he and Conan are both doing a different character.
A little bit,
than what they. If you hear Jimmy on like a podcast or
you
hear him like talking to Adam Carolla or whatever, totally different guy.
Sure.
He's a snarky comic. Yeah. I wish he would put a little bit more of that into his interview.
Sure.
I know you have to make a show.
Yeah.
The problem with these shows all is that you have to...
He's on at 11:30 now. He's not,
you have to
12 or 5 or whatever.
You can't grill people.
Sure.
Letterman kind of grills people, and I love that about him. You got to keep guests coming on. What's your next topic?
All right. Well, and then the final category, just in late night, is musical guests.
Okay.
Now, you could say comedians as a separate category, but somebody, those shows, they don't even use comedians. I don't know what the point of that is. But for musical guests, I think I have a tie between Letterman and Fallon. I think Letterman probably has the best guests, but I think Letterman disassociates himself from the musical guests. You can tell Letterman doesn't know who the fuck these people are. Whereas Fallon sort of feigns that he's a big fan of everybody.
But I
think just for booking purposes... For my musical taste, I'll go with Letterman and Fallon. Although one thing about Fallon I don't like is he uses the Roots too much, which I know the Roots are good and stuff, but sometimes it's like, you know, if somebody sucks, don't do him a favor and give him the Roots. Just let him suck.
Oh, you mean to back him up?
Yeah. Like he has he had Ariana Grande on, and it's like she doesn't need to play with the Roots.
Here's a couple annoying, interesting things about music. Okay, Ferguson almost never has
it. Almost never has it, so it doesn't even count. Throw it out,
He doesn't count. Conan used to have good musical guests.
I don't even know what he does on TBS. I think they
does
do
he
it,
have
but
musical guests.
I think
sometimes.
They do, but it's just you never.
Letterman has a musical guest like every show.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much every show, there's one on Letterman.
Leno has them fairly often.
Hey, but the thing about Letterman is I feel like it's not... Like, Letterman will book A-list, you know, it's everybody's fame. Like, the first guest on Letterman's always a big name. But the musical guest could be a guy with his first record or something, and I like that. I like that.
Really,
it's,
the Letterman format's pretty locked in. It's big, maybe a news, somebody in the news.
Yeah.
Although Letterman will do shit like bring on, like, a Navy SEAL or some veteran or something to talk to him. Or interesting people sometimes.
He is the guy that wins the Indy 500 every year.
Sure.
That guy is the first guest.
So he'll generally have somebody who's hot and topical in the news. Then he'll have actress, actor, plugging movie of the week.
Sure.
Or CBS schlappy.
Yeah.
You can so see who's being supplied by the network.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
Leno had the other night, he had Louis C.K. and then Megan and John McCain were on.
Right.
It was the weirdest booking.
That is weird booking, yeah.
Because you had to see, and then Louis got to sit there, would talk to John McCain, and you could just see how uncomfortable he was.
Yeah, Louis kind of went in like, this whole, like, what do you want me to do with John McCain? You want to make him funny now? That's
right,
great.
Right. He's like, I can't make him funny.
But music, really strictly musical guests, I mean, I don't know. Leno has a lot of country music on, and Leno, I feel like they really reach for the mainstream with that. Whereas the other shows, like I said, the two that I picked,
Letterman,
were the most adventurous.
Letterman's the best music.
Yeah, I think Letterman's the best.
Yeah, you know, you're
right.
I wish I could argue with you on
Bruce these. Is going on Jimmy Fallon next week, so I'll be watching that one.
Oh,
but,
well.
But he also does Justin Timberlake week,
Fallon
which
does,
can go suck
Fallon
my dick.
Does pretty
Fallon
good music.
Fallon does do pretty good music, yeah.
Because he'll have a lot of guys, like the Mountain Goats were on
Yeah,
there.
he has
he'll have some cool
stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's 12:30 NBC has always been edgy musical acts.
But, you know.
Whether it was Letterman or Conan or even Fallon.
Whatever you can.
They still do a good job.
Whatever you want to say about Fallon.
Yeah.
And there's plenty to say about what a fucking horrible interviewer he is.
Yeah.
He's about our age.
Right.
And he's probably about my age, 37, 38, something like that.
Yeah.
And you can tell he probably likes Pavement.
He probably does.
You know, he probably likes a lot of, like, good indie bands and stuff from the 90s.
Okay.
That actually is stuff he likes. And so when he books thank you.
You're welcome.
You didn't even try to
off mic.
Didn't even mute that.
Kicking off 2014.
Nope, didn't even give me the courtesy cover.
I
want to
look that on. What did that look like? I think it's already
off. It was a pretty big waveform.
It was a big waveform.
You
on
really you
on
just,
the monitor. I want to see a big.
You fucking Rancor keeper.
Right in there.
You grossly
just burped.
Right, come
on. We got a million TV shows to talk about. God. Musical, anything else on musical guests?
No, I think we covered
comedians,
that.
Comedians, I don't even think it's a category because so few people have them. I mean, Leno seems to have more comedians on, but he has them on. Early, he has him on in like the post monologue bit.
Yeah. Conan and
Letterman will use him as
Conan Ferguson and Letterman
in lieu of music.
All use comics.
Well,
often.
The problem I have with Ferguson is that
doesn't do a lot of stand up sets.
Ferguson and Ferguson's not there when you do him. I forget the guy I talked to.
Oh, really? He tapes himself.
They tape, they bring in like five comics and they all tape sets and they just drop them into the end of the show. Yeah. So Ferguson's not, like the one guy I talked to, Ferguson wasn't even there. He wasn't even in the studio when he did his bit on Ferguson.
Well, that's kind of shitty.
They had an audience, and he did his bit, and
because
Ferguson was out
the part
door.
Of the role of those talk shows that everybody always talks about, Johnny, was developing careers.
Right, and I think Leno and Letterman care enough to sort of continue that tradition. And
Leno is better to comics, I will tell you what, than you would...
I agree. I think Leno is good to comics. I'm not dissing
Although,
Leno.
Well, somebody bitched that he's never developed a talent on his show.
Well... He has him on, but he doesn't bring him along. You know, Letterman famously, you know, made Ray Romano famous because Ray came on, did a set. Letterman took him backstage, signed him to a development deal.
Yeah.
And that was Everybody Loves Raymond. You know, that
well,
so Letterman.
I would say Letterman and Conan are probably better for comics.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, Conan, they both seem to respect comedians.
Yeah.
Conan and Letterman and Leno. Leno uses him when he needs him and kind of goes...
You know, he used more comics on his 10 o'clock show.
He did, yeah.
And that he kind of backed... Yeah. There were a lot of young comics that he gave spots to.
That did bits. And that's what he does with the young comics. He sends them out to do bits for him. And,
right.
I don't know. All right, let's move on. Enough
okay.
late night talk.
All right. But we all agree that Jimmy Fallon is a horrible interviewer.
Well, the last line I wrote is that Leno is not great, but he is better than Fallon in every possible way except music. And that Ferguson is a space alien and doesn't even try. That's what I wrote on my little review sheet here.
Well,
so.
But see, Ferguson's doing. I kind of like that about his show because he's saying. Yeah. I'm just doing this
I get it, but
I'm being a cheeky monkey. Whatever.
Well, this is what I would like to see happen. If Letterman leaves, I think if I'm CBS, I think I go after Leno. I think I try to bring Leno into CBS at 11:30.
Because they're not promoting
Ferguson. Because he would fucking kick the fucking shit out of Jimmy Fallon. And it's funny because when Conan took over Jimmy Fallon, they at least had Leno still hanging around because he was a 10. Yeah. But I think they're actually giving Leno the door this time. Because I think they tried to give Leno like a Bob Hope kind of deal.
Out.
I think Leno's out. Yeah.
Leno's going to Fox.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. But
which Conan should have done. I don't know why Conan didn't go to Fox.
Because Fox, you can't get
clear all the stations.
You can't, because the problem is Fox gives 10 o'clock to the locals. No. And if no, the Fox affiliates don't want to give those.
You know what I actually heard too is that CNN wants.
Well, CNN wants old. They want anybody that's famous. The CNN's a complete mess.
Jeff Zucker's over there.
That CNN is a complete.
But Jeff Zucker's
disaster.
Trying to finagle some people.
I guess
over
there. Zucker and Leno would be buddies because Zucker's the one
they
that
both suck.
Gave Leno his. All right, let's move on to TV shows. This is my best TV shows.
You didn't even mention Arsenio.
Fuck Arsenio. Let's move on. Just fuck him. Just fuck him.
Do you know?
Just fuck him.
Do you know?
Fuck him. Fuck him. Fuck him.
Do you know what the booking strategy is on Arsenio?
If you're black and from the 90s, you get to be the lead guest. Yeah. What is that?
Alfonso Ribeiro tonight on the program. It is kind of, if you want to see Morris Chestnut, is my guest tonight. If you want to see.
It is literally
right?
Like, you know.
Mia Peebles and the Party Machine. Right. If you want to see like a
the cast of Friday reuniting right here, you know.
David Allen Greer.
Yeah, it's.
You want to see like.
Right. Cheating Ivory Wayans.
It is In Living Color, guys.
It is the cast of In Living Color.
It's so amazing. Every black dress, Regina King.
I know.
You'll just, people you didn't even know were still in.
Give it up for Johnny Gill, y'all.
Johnny Gill. Love Johnny Gill.
Come on. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You know what a simp Arsenio is?
He's a tired mess.
You know Paul Scheer was doing it. Paul Scheer's got a bit where he does this called Paul. It's called like Paul Scheerio something. He recreates Arsenio interviews.
He just does the script.
And they just do the script. Yeah. And then like other guys come out and like play Vanilla Ice and stuff. And like just recreate word for word Arsenio shit. And
Arsenio.
It's great.
He's got to be gone soon.
Well, Arsenio brought Paul Scheer on.
Yeah.
And was like, this guy got me good. And Paul Scheer's sitting there with a fucking high top fade. Like goofing on Arsenio to his face.
Yeah, enough Arsenio. I think the showrunners, I think they've been through two of those already. The show.
Have they really?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be talking about that show for next year. Anyway, let me go on to my number nine TV show.
She played Lisa Turtle on. Oh, shit. Keisha Knight Pulliam.
You remember him from A Different World. It's Kadeem Hardison, y'all.
Kadeem Hardison is in the building. Tempest Bledsoe.
Show. I forget where this was last year. I think it was in my top 10. And I'm still watching it, although I'm going to do my list of shows that I quit. Yeah, you go ahead and laugh. It's okay. You go ahead.
I'm
I got
just
it.
Thinking of the fucking...
I'll take it from here.
I mean,
my
Uncle Phil died too soon.
Uncle Phil had a spot. You know he was booked.
He was booked.
They just didn't get
like,
to him.
I'm doing our scene in February.
If you could just hang on.
Oh, my God.
All right. My number nine show is The Walking Dead on AMC. Oh. So, and I'm telling you, the pilot of Walking Dead, which was directed by Frank Darabont, is one of the great television shows of all time. It's fantastic. It's a little movie into itself. It sets up the whole season. It's fantastic.
Sure.
The show, season two of that show, was the most annoying fucking piece of shit ever. It redeemed itself a little bit in season three, and now season four is looking a lot like season two. And they also do this thing where they do the mid-season finale.
Yes.
Because they go off for like 8 weeks over the holidays. Well, and the mid-season finale really just should have been like the second episode of the season. Mm-hmm. They just fucking dillied and dallied the whole time with this governor guy. Who was the villain in season three?
Well,
and they finally bring him back, and then it's just like, get it over with.
What happened on that show? What the problem? I'm over zombie stuff in general.
Oh, I am too. But this show can still be good when it wants to be.
It is
and
a good
when
show.
It wants to be boring, it's the dullest show.
It's also extraordinarily bleak.
Yeah, it's too bleak.
They kill off characters left and right.
Well, I think I counted. They're down to
original characters, like
three from season one, maybe four now, you know? So
there's his son, and then
the guy,
Glenn.
Norman Reedus,
yeah,
whatever his name is, the guy with the bow and the crossbow.
Daryl.
He's still on, and I think there's a couple other characters that we're not really sure what happened to him from season one, so they could potentially come back. But yeah.
Well, the problem with that show is they got past, once they were like, it started out like, we got to survive the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Now they're like, we're in a bunker, and we got other humans are trying to kill
it. It seems like there's no cure for the zombie. Like, in the beginning, first season, they went like, if we can just get to the CDC, we'll be saved. Right. And then that ended up not working.
The problem
and
is,
it just seems more and more bleak. So.
It's just a sustained forever zombie
thing. There's no
end
game,
And you're bored. You're sitting there going, well, they're just going to sit in this room waiting for the zombies to get them.
Right, and some other guy's going to get eaten, and eventually going to run out of people to eat. And then the show is basically, I mean, maybe they would do good to sort of reboot it with different people or something. I don't know. But I'm still watching. I believe me, I'm going to give you a list of shows that I stopped watching and tell you why. But we'll get to that. My number eight show is something you probably never saw, but it was really good, especially they do this twice a year. But at The Ultimate Fighter, which is now on Fox Sports 1, the UFC reality show, was real good because they had the women as coaches and they had women in the house. Fighting for spots and stuff. So that was entertaining, and it led to a really good pay-per-view where Miesha Tate fought Ronda Rousey for the women's title at UFC 168. And it was real good. Okay, moving on. Number seven. No, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. You got nothing to say. You didn't see it. That's okay.
Yeah.
But that's a good show. If you like that kind of reality competition show, they're doing a good job of
it. I'm just not into UFC anymore.
Okay,
so, all right. You
know. Well, that's to each their own. My number seven show, here's something you're also not into. And again, I think all reality shows should look at this and go, you know, how is this still on? But Survivor is still good, and it's my number seven show.
Yeah.
It's still good because they haven't monkeyed with it too much. They have monkeyed with it.
Yeah.
And I think some of the monkeying has made it worse, but they still, there is something inherently in the game that makes it good. It's sort of like football or baseball where there is an inherent drama just in the game itself that a lot of these other reality shows, because some of these reality shows like Big Brother and even like The Apprentice and stuff, you don't know what the rules are.
Sure.
And so, you know, you watch Apprentice and it's just like, we don't,
there's
no
rules.
One knows what the rules are.
No
rules. Just
we'll get to that.
Okay. At the end of the show, Trump just says, get out, and then you leave, and that's it. So I think Survivor, because it has rules, because there is, you know, there are rules and there is a machinery there, that creates drama. I think that's what keeps that a good show. So
have not watched the Survivor in years.
That's perfectly fine. Let me move to my number six show.
Yeah,
I'm in reality hell here, but that just shows you what I think the state of scripted drama is when you see my top ten.
Sure,
my number six. We're gonna stay in the reality genre, and this is one of those, you know, because these reality shows, these working man reality shows, and these kind of treasure hunter shows, this is probably a combination of both. They can skew too much into fiction, and it ruins them.
Okay.
So I'm worried about this one, but it's still good. It's on right now, the new season, Shipping Wars on A&E.
Ah.
Shipping Wars is some quality television. I talked about this last year. I like watching guys just do crazy road trips.
Yeah.
And when you're doing a crazy road trip with like a helicopter strapped to the back of your truck, I think that's entertaining. So I'm in for that, you know.
I used to like Shipping Wars.
Okay.
And it would drop off my list.
Okay.
Because here's the thing on that show. These people live in different states, never see each other.
Okay.
They constantly are bickering back and forth with each other.
They're shit talk each other.
A fake shit talk drama.
There is, absolutely.
Between people who never meet each other.
Well,
they've
done things where they get two guys to haul one load or something.
Which is all calculated.
Which is all calculated, and that's where they've got to watch this show veering too much into, you know,
a much better show, although I don't know if he was even on this year.
What was that?
In the same vein, is Ice Road Truckers.
Yeah, I agree. Ice Road Truckers is a great show. The one where they went to India was one of the great television seasons ever.
Fantastic.
That Ice Road Truckers,
because you couldn't fake crazy mountain roads in India.
That was great.
Or when they drive over a frozen lake.
Yeah.
You can't fucking fake that.
Yeah, that's good.
So, to me, Shipping Wars is going to great lengths to
They're creating a little too much fake suspense, but I still like it. I think the personalities are good on that show. I've actually, you know, gone through, like, looked up these shipments And some of them seem real. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, they're not really open that any, like, could I bid on one of those shipments that
on
Roy
U-ship,
and I don't know that I can, but if you go on U-ship, you do see that they do have ratings. They do do this. Somebody said that woman Jen was just some actress they cast. You know,
seems
she was
like
a model
that.
Who never really drove a truck before the show, and maybe that's true. Maybe
what about
it isn't.
the rookie guy? He seems
Well, he's been doing that show for like 3 years. You think he'd not be a rookie anymore, but apparently he's just dumb. I don't know.
I will say, I will still watch a Shipping Wars from time to time because you do want to see them move a giant, you know, hot dog car.
Yeah.
But, well, they had, now they're doing shit like they moved a chicken car for Mumford & Sons.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
But Mumford & Sons did not appear in
the
episode.
Yeah, I was totally expecting them to come out at the end.
I was thinking the cameo
it would be Mumford & Sons show up, but no. They're just fuck you. Did you see them move the TARDIS?
No.
Yeah, they moved a TARDIS from like one convention to another.
Oh, good.
And they moved. They had the guy had the Enterprise, like command, whatever. What do you call that?
Like the chair,
the deck, the whole deck of from the Enterprise,
the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge with all the chairs and everything.
Yeah,
and they had to haul that and the TARDIS together from one convention.
Well,
to
that's
another.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so you see interesting stuff on there. It's a good show. All right, let me go to my number five again. We're reality, but again, this one. One of the sort of, I don't know if it's the original reality show, but a little different from the other ones, but I'm liking it again. I don't think it was on my top 10 last year, but Mythbusters is still good.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw the Star Wars Mythbusters. That was the season premiere the other night.
I did not.
Yes.
You know, the thing with Mythbusters is Mythbusters is like a Coney dog.
Yeah.
I know it's good.
Yeah.
And it's there if I want it.
And it's there if, okay.
The show never really changes or goes up or down.
No, but it's good. It's science. It's, again, a little bit of that is there is some phony drama, I think, to Mythbusters. But it's still a science show. I mean, this one, like.
Phony drama. What do you mean?
Well,
what they always do on Mythbusters is if something doesn't work, they just go, let's add more dynamite.
Yeah, that actually is one of the drawbacks of that show is it shouldn't just be about blowing things up. It should be like, could this, you know, in the Star Wars one, they said, could Luke and Leia have actually swung across the Death Star? So they you know, they built the grappling hook exactly as it was in the movie and saw if the grappling hook would work.
Okay.
Then they said, can you sustain weight? Mm-hmm. Can you sustain weight on like a belt alone, which is what Luke had? So they did that one. They did the Ewok smashing the AT-ST with the two logs. And they got two big trees, and they smashed
I'll have
their
armored
truck.
I'll have to watch it.
It was real
good.
It was real good.
It's just not on my.
They also did. Could you survive inside a Tauntaun? If it was freezing cold out on Hoth, and you know Han cuts open the Tauntaun and stuffs you in, will you survive for 2 days or as long as? So it was good.
It's a fine show. I do watch Mythbusters.
And Sophia Bush was Princess Leia.
Okay,
so that was good.
All right,
she looked like Princess Leia. It was good.
Okay. They didn't put Carrie in that costume?
No. Carrie wore a one-piece R2-D2 dress, though.
Okay.
Which was nice. All right. And she wore the Leia Endor outfit, because they were doing Endor stuff.
All right. Not as good.
Then she wore the R2-D2 dress,
All right.
She said a line about, at one point, she goes...
I'm too old for
this. I don't know what is requiring me to be in the slave outfit. And so she... You know,
well, in the first episode of the Mythbusters, she did a butt cast.
Yeah, she was when
and
she
it's
was
all
an
been
intern.
Down here,
yeah.
Downhill from there.
Well, whatever. All right. Hey. My number four show, I think this is new to my top 10. It's been on for a while, but I think I just discovered it in the last year, but Ridiculousness on MTV, I find hilarious. Now, I know people are going to go, the viral video shows, there's too many of them, and I agree with you, but I think they do a really good job because Jeff Tremaine created this with Rob Dyrdek, and he's the Jackass guy, and I think Tremaine does a good job of editing. And they really keep that show moving where you see a lot of clips in a row. Mm-hmm. And Dyrdek is actually pretty funny with his comments. Even though, you know, Dyrdek did all those, like, skateboard shows, Robin Big and Fantasy Factory, which you probably never gave two shits about. And for good reason. They weren't very good. But I think Dyrdek is actually a pretty entertaining guy.
Okay.
And when you watch that show, and they have funny guests on that come on and break down the clips. Like, they had Snoop Dogg on the other night. And, you know, they've had all the Jackass guys on there at one time or another. And so it's if you want to watch guys fall off skateboards, I think it's funny, you know, and I laugh a lot. I mean, again, you know, is it America's Funniest Home Video? Sure.
Yeah.
But it's actually done with a little more edge, and they keep it moving where it doesn't get stale.
Well, wait till we get to the worst. I got one of those.
I bet you do. All right. My number three best show, and this one slipped this year. I don't know if it was number one last year. It might have been, but Homeland. Is my number three show, although pretty much everyone that watched Homeland said it wasn't as good, and it wasn't as good. But, you know, you can only amp up the tension to some point on that show because it really became, you know, where, you know, the vice president was murdered in season two, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it's just how much can you really amp it up? Yeah. They blew up the CIA headquarters at the end of last
season.
Well,
and then they did a major game change this year on the show.
Well, they did. And you know, the lead guy, Damian Lewis, his character, mm-hmm. Brody, disappeared.
Yeah.
Because he was accused of blowing up the CIA. And so he was, like, in another country, and he was only on, like, half the season.
Yeah, he must have thought, I can get some movies out of this.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with that was. That seemed like an odd choice. But his daughter was in all the episodes at the first half of the season. And people were going crazy because you were watching this teenage girl, like sneak out of... It was just weird. It didn't make sense. And so Homeland kind of took some weird twists and turns. But all of these shows do. Again, you can only ramp things up to a certain point where they start to get silly. And this season got a little silly. I think it redeemed itself. The final episode was real good. The season finale was real good. You know, they took some balls to do what they did at the end of the season, which, you know, a lot of shows wouldn't have done. So I liked it for that. Homeland's still pretty good. I like it. So that's my number three show.
All right.
Number two, probably a show you like. Again, I don't know. This is probably, you probably feel like this, like you feel about Mythbusters. It's there when you want it. But Shark Tank is still good.
I like Shark Tank.
Shark Tank
a lot.
Is still good. Yeah.
One I watch religiously.
So Shark Tank is good.
It would probably be on my list.
Number two is very high for it, but again,
very high.
You know, I think they just do it right. It's a simple concept.
The thing about Shark Tank is there's only so much you can fake.
Exactly.
Because the product is going to stand on its own.
Yeah. Right.
And I would probably put Shark Tank like number six or so on my list.
Okay. Sure.
So we can skip it when I do mine.
All right.
But it's Yeah, it's a good show. Mark Cuban has immensely helped that show.
Yeah, I watched because, you know, they're showing repeats now. CNBC, Tuesday mm-hmm. nights from like 8 to midnight, it's four Shark Tanks. And they're all from all different eras. And before Cuban was there, it wasn't as good.
I don't like Barbara.
Okay.
She can go. She's
She's there half the time not.
Lori's better than Barbara.
But now, you know, they'll have Lori and Barbara, and they'll get rid of Damon now.
Sometimes
Damon's gone, and the two
Damon
bras are on there.
Damon doesn't invest in a lot of things.
He doesn't, yeah.
I've noticed the pattern.
He needs something in his wheelhouse to invest.
There's a pattern on that show. If somebody comes in with a clothing concept, light up Velcro patch, Damon goes, I can do this.
Yeah.
He doesn't expand. Cuban, his properties are, God, we watch Shark Tank obsessively.
Cuban's all over the place.
Cuban, though, all his stuff, he builds on stuff like, he'll buy a popcorn, he'll buy like a, he bought chocolate pretzels one
time.
Yeah,
I remember.
Because he was like, I can sell these in my movie theater.
Sure, or he can sell them at the Mavs games or something.
Or they have to tie into some sporting kind of.
Sure. He does a lot of internet stuff, too, because he knows.
Well, they all seem to build on his other properties, which is a very smart strategy. Sure, yeah. He goes, I've got a TV network, I've got a.
Yeah.
Movie theater chain. I've got this and that, and all this stuff can platform into it. What's his name? Robert Herjavec only buys things that are like cars or guitars. They're all like midlife crisis.
The problem I have with him is that he really, I don't know if it's because he doesn't bid enough. He just doesn't win enough. He's sexy enough to a lot of the
once in a while.
A lot of the people coming on. I think he's not as famous as the other guys. He's kind of famous for being on Shark Tank, and so you kind of look at him and go, I don't think I get the name value that I get from some of these other guys.
Of a formula. Robert, like I said, if it's midlife crisis, if it's like a cool guitar thing or some kind of car shit, Robert will invest in that because it's cool.
Right.
Otherwise, maybe once in a while he'll invest in a fucking chocolate or pudding or something
because
he thinks it tastes good.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Robert's out.
Yeah,
and fucking Kevin O'Leary is the most entertaining to watch because he breaks down everybody's bad pitches or why the concept won't work. But his gambit is always, I'm going to take a royalty.
Yeah, he likes to take the fewest risks.
He doesn't take risks.
He'll throw his money around when it's a sure thing. Yeah,
and so his strategy is pretty predictable.
Yeah,
and the investors or the
but it's always entertaining to watch those guys get their balls busted by Kevin O'Leary.
The inventors never want to go with Kevin because they know he wants to just take money off the top of the fucking product.
Yeah.
Anyway, too much Shark Tank analysis.
And it's way better than Dragon's Den on Channel 9.
Well, that's because the Canadians come in and go, I got a way to warm your hockey puck, babe. And it's just like fucking what the
and
hell?
It's just like, you know, it's just like the panel's not
as
good.
Well, Kevin's on that show and Robert's on that show,
too. I know, but those guys are good and that's why they're on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
But those other panelists on Dragon's Den, they're a bunch of wet noodles. They don't have
the
any
the guy who
spines.
Invented Mr. Lube?
The Mr. Lube guy, the other guy.
Seriously, I love these, like, Canadian Boston Pizza.
Boston Pizza.
Mr. Lou.
I was in Toronto. I went to Boston Pizza, so I can't complain.
Does anybody know in Canada, by the way, that Boston's not where you go for fucking pizza?
Well, that's where you go in Canada.
Boston's pizza's okay. Providence and Boston have this big thing about Providence.
I have a lot of Italians there.
I was shocked by this. Providence is really big on like fucking pizza and Italian stuff. They have a little Italy.
Sure.
They're big on Italian
stuff. Boston's got to have an
Italian
section.
But I still don't go. I still don't think. Where do I go for pizza in the United States of America?
No.
I still think New York, first and foremost. And then not Boston.
No one thinks Toronto, so.
Right.
That's a
Vancouver pizza, eh?
Number one. Yeah. The number one show of 2013. And this one, actually, and again, this is another show that people criticized and said it wasn't as good. And maybe it wasn't. But even with it falling, it's still the best thing on TV, in my opinion. And that's Boardwalk Empire.
Okay.
I thought they had a great year this past year. I think even though they've taken kind of Nucky, Steve Buscemi's character, and sort of made him, he's not sort of the mafia boss he used to be.
Speaking of Nucky, give me a nugget.
A Hershey nugget. It's still a great show. Jeffrey Wright was awesome this season. All that stuff they did with the kind of the race wars. The Al Capone stuff, that actor that does Al Capone, I know he's a British guy. Mm-hmm. That guy is fucking fan. I forget what his name is. Mm-hmm. He was in This Is England and a bunch of stuff like that. That guy's awesome as Al Capone. Mm-hmm. All those historical mobsters, Meyer Lansky, all those guys are great actors. I thought the arc. Did you watch all of Boardwalk this year?
I watched a lot of it.
Because if you didn't see the end is just like Ron Livingston is on there. And you have to see the end with Ron Livingston because it's fantastic.
Well, oddly enough, Boardwalk Empire was my number 10 show.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. It was a little down. It's depressing.
It is depressing.
Really about people whose lives are miserable and then they kill each other.
But you know what? I honestly didn't know what was going to happen with this. You know Nucky's probably not getting killed, but Eli you thought might get killed. Yeah. You never know. It's really... did a good job. I mean, they actually got Michael Shannon got a lot more screen time. Mm-hmm. Michael Shannon last season was sort of marginalized, and he was sort of back.
He's a great actor.
And he's a great actor. And so if you want to watch great actors mm-hmm. do great acting, it's a well-written show. Mm-hmm. I mean, the wife was pretty much out of the season. She was only on a few episodes. But still, great show, Boardwalk Empire. Best thing on TV, in my opinion.
Now, my number 9 is another HBO show.
Another HBO show.
Eastbound and Down.
See, that's one I stopped watching. I should have.
I think the ending, the last season of Eastbound and Down really recovered.
Okay.
It had kind of a down, you know, when he went to Mexico.
What was the arc on this one? Because there was he went to Mexico in 2, mm-hmm. then he came back to play in the minors in 3.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Myrtle Beach.
He got on a TV show this year.
Okay.
Kind of a sports talk, like a Best Damn Sports show.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Ken Marino played the guy who, he was a teammate.
Okay.
Who had played with him at a certain point. And Ken Marino is incredible at being a super dick.
Okay.
Really, really funny. Good stuff on that.
All right. Eastbound and Down.
Yeah. So Eastbound and Down, good show.
Go ahead. Now that's your 9. What's your 8?
My number 9. My number 8 is another HBO show. So I have 3 HBO shows on the bottom of my list.
Corey loves his HBO.
My number 8, Family Tree.
I don't even know what that is.
That is a Christopher Guest show.
Oh, geez. You watch that.
I
was wondering who watched that and Corey.
No one watched it.
No one watched it, yes.
But they're bringing it back. Because
what's it about? Maybe I'll watch it. Sell me on it.
It's Chris O'Dowd.
Okay. He's okay.
It's Chris O'Dowd, and he's kind of a sad sack Irishman Englishman. Michael McKean's his dad.
Okay.
And he discovers he had ancestors in America. He had... his maternal grandfather his great grandfather mm-hmm. was a stage actor and then a film actor in LA, which is really just kind of an excuse for, Chris Guest improvs. It's slow moving as hell. It's the slowest, driest show on TV for a comedy.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. It picks up when, like, Fred Willard and Ed Begley show up.
Yeah, he's got his cast.
And it's really just those guys. It's the Chris Guest cast just doing shtick. For me, that was good enough. It's a very low-key show.
Yeah.
Chris O'Dowd has another show that's a Hulu original.
Oh, my goodness. A Hulu original.
Called Moon Boy.
That's not in your top.
It's not, but it would be close.
It's good? Oh, okay.
I've only seen a couple. You know what? I've only watched about two episodes of it, so I did not rank
it.
Right.
I have a category for those shows where I like them, but I've only seen a couple.
The premise of Moon Boy is Chris O'Dowd is the imaginary friend of this Irish kid in the 80s.
Okay.
Kind of an interesting show. Kind of funny. Worth checking out.
Maybe I'll get
it. But I have not seen enough of it to get a sample size.
Okay.
Family Tree, the lowest key comedy possible, but it kind of builds. It gets better as it goes along. The later episodes were better.
Okay.
And Fred Willard is just Fred Willard, and he's always funny.
All right. I don't know what number you're on. Seven?
What am I, number seven?
Let's call it seven.
Yeah. Boy, what did I have for number six? I'm trying to remember this list that I had written
I mean,
out.
You had Shark Tank somewhere in there.
So I think Shark Tank was number six.
All right, we'll put Shark Tank at six.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Number seven, Bar Rescue.
All right, so you're...
Which is another dumb reality show.
Right. Now, did you read the article about how all the bar rescues have failed?
And, yeah.
I've seen those articles.
That's kind of what I like about it.
Do you?
Because his premises are sometimes terrible.
Yeah.
Well, the one we saw, the best one was the one with Stand Up Scottsdale.
Yeah, the comedy club. It's called Meat Sauna, if you see it in your program guide.
They have weird titles.
Yeah, Meat Sauna doesn't make sense. Why would it be a comedy club? But you have watched
the episode. Also, the guy, Duffy, the chef on the show, is now you see him doing an embarrassing commercial for the stuffed meat patty burger.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, I didn't associate the two, but is it the same guy that comes in for the food every time? Okay. So I thought with bartenders.
No, it's not actually. It's not.
They bring in different people. Yeah,
He's got a rotating.
He's got
cast.
A crew. Yeah,
Duffy's on a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then he's got a guy who used to be on Food Network who comes on, Aaron McCargo. Anyway,
okay.
Who I used to call Barbecue Ving Rhames because he was like a big black guy that does barbecue on Food Network. But Bar Rescue is just kind of brain rot television. Another show where there's a lot of kind of staging.
Yeah, yeah, you can tell that's a little you don't think he's really. Those people know they're, you know, like when he's yelling at those people, you know, those people are like, you know,
well,
this is fucking scripted.
When he, no, yeah, he comes in and yells at people, but you get real responses out of the actual employees and staff sometimes. And,
but you know, like they're opening, like they have stress day where they stress the bar.
Oh,
you know that setup. You know the grand opening is set up. So, yeah. You know those are extras. Those are people from Craigslist or from a casting agency.
Right. When he goes to stress test, he fills the place with people from television.
From, casting agencies.
But what I do like is sometimes these bars are bizarre.
Right.
They have dumb choices.
Well.
There was one where this guy brought his horse into the bar. It was like in Arizona.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just, you can see drunks in action.
I did a one-nighter that was so bad this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say the city because I don't want to piss anybody off. And it was out of state, and I did this one-nighter. And I almost made the joke about, boy, what a candidate for Bar Rescue this is.
Right.
But, you know, you're never supposed to make fun of the room too much because you think the owner's going to get pissed. So I was going to make the joke, and I think it would have killed because there was like 15 fucking people in this bar. It was a terrible show.
Right.
And afterwards, I'm talking to the owner, and he goes, well, I was talking to the Bar Rescue people, and they actually came out and scouted the place. So it would have been perfect had I done the fucking joke.
What it makes you realize is there are a lot of really lame.
Yeah.
Like a lot of restaurants are just bad.
There's people that don't know what they're doing. They shouldn't be in the business. It's like anything.
Well,
there's people who shouldn't be in the comedy business.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that shouldn't be in the restaurant business. There's people that shouldn't be in the bar business.
There are other rehab of these restaurant rehabs.
Yeah,
and so there's, and I've actually, what's funny is I've actually gone to a couple restaurants now. I went to one. There's one out by my in-laws that they did on Kitchen Impossible.
What is it? The West Side?
A Restaurant
of the state,
Impossible.
Somewhere?
Yeah, it's out by Kalamazoo.
Okay.
And we went to one, and you could tell that they'd remodeled based on what he did.
Okay.
But the restaurant, you could tell that these people didn't have a fucking clue about what, like,
right.
What happens is these chefs come in and they go, it's real simple.
Yeah.
You just do four things, you make a great filet mignon.
Yeah.
But these fucking hill jacks don't understand what he did for them.
Right.
And will not be able to keep up the formula that
because,
they created.
You have these guys and you train them and the chef comes in and he's training the staff, but then, you know, those staffs get, you know, move out of state or they, you know, they get thrown in jail or they get a higher paying job across town and then they're gone.
What I do like on Bar Rescue is they fire people.
Yeah.
What almost always happens on Kitchen Nightmares, once in a while somebody, or Restaurant Impossible, once in a while a guy will get fired on when Gordon Ramsay comes in. Mm-hmm. But on the other, on the Food Network show, he usually gives them another chance and they redeem them. Bar Rescue, they will just fire people. And I kind of enjoy that. I like to watch people getting fired. I like to watch, they had a gay bar on Bar Rescue. I'd never seen that.
Wow.
That was a fabulous episode.
Now, how do you, now if the gay bar business is down, do you go like, hey, we're going to stop being a fucking gay bar?
No.
We're going to invite some broads in here.
No, it was, he made it a, he upscaled the.
Upscaled the gay bar.
He made it, because it was old, rundown.
Seal up the glory holes.
Right.
Class the joint up.
This place was like Las Vegas's original gay bar. And they were doing like a sad drag show. But there was interesting stuff in there. Like
Liberace got blown right here. And by the way, I think that doesn't count as best television show. That's in our movie review, which will be probably the next show. But
that
Liberace movie was the scene where he goes into the adult bookstore was fucking fabulous. But anyway,
it was a TV movie, but
we'll count it as a movie. Yeah. We'll count it as a movie.
We're talking series.
Yeah, I know.
But the gay bar was fabulous because the drag show, they were like, nobody buys a drink when the drag show's on.
Yeah.
So Tapper came in and changed it and was like, we'll do like a 3-minute drag show and then people can just buy drinks.
Yeah.
The owner lost his shit and hated it. And this is the only one I've ever seen a Bar Rescue where the guy was like, the guy came in and closed the bar and quit. Like at the end of the show, they did the crawl. They're
that's
like,
it.
He hated the concept and closed it, and that
fucked
was
all
it. And he owes $1 million in debt.
Well,
so I like that. I like watching people fail, Joel.
Yeah.
Number six, Shark Tank.
Yeah, which is not a failure on that.
What's that?
I was watching one of the old ones.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people.
And the guy's like, instead of magazines, he made. Now, remember, this is probably 2007, I'm guessing, this show was probably made. He goes, I've designed these tablet computers to read while you're waiting for the doctor to come in. Like it was before the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
They fucking laughed him right out of there. And he's like, I mortgaged my house twice and raided my kids' college funds for this. And they were like, you're a fucking idiot. And now, you know, that guy's just completely on his ass. So.
See, I love that stuff.
A lot of failure going around. All right, number five.
Number five. You're going to, I know, you're going to go ahead, cough, homo. The Good Wife.
Good Wife.
It's a fine. Thank you.
No, I'm not.
It's a good show.
You know what? I will be watching Good Wife this week because they're using Springsteen songs.
Oh.
This week. Because Springsteen has an album coming out, and apparently they're tying it into that some kind of way. So.
Well, what's great about The Good Wife is they get cameos from every actor comes in and plays a, you know, client or whatever.
Yeah.
This week they had Matt Lillard was a guy that was suing over copyright infringement for his song.
Okay.
The legal stuff is interesting when they do cases. And my wife sits there and watches and go, well, that's the wrong motion to file.
Yeah.
But that's exculpatory evidence. But the drama is actually pretty good. It's actually a really juicy soap opera drama.
Never seen it. Yeah,
it's about as good as a network. You know, it makes you want to watch everything.
Okay,
and they do a good job of the for a soap opera thing. It's not dumb.
Yeah,
like these shows like Scandal and all this crap that are all soap opera-y.
Yeah,
nothing on The Good Wife. No one's ever getting stabbed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's like, I turned into a I'm half gargoyle now.
Yeah,
like there's no bullshit nonsense.
There's no
science
supernatural
fiction.
Bullshit.
It's just really just juicy legal drama. So that's a very solid show.
Well, those are all on, and this is I probably should have pointed this out as I was doing my list, but you know those are all on Amazon, and I don't know if Netflix has those. Again, go to canistreamit.com or canistream.it.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you where you can watch these shows if you don't have them. Hulu has almost everything from NBC, Fox, and ABC, but not from CBS. So Good Wife, you either have to go to the CBS website, or I believe Amazon has the first whole season. And this is what, their second or their third Good Wife?
Third.
Third, so they have all the old ones on Amazon Prime Instant Video. Okay, go ahead, give me number four.
Number four? What is number four? I forgot. I had a list. I wrote this whole list down. And
yeah,
I'm trying to remember
that's
those.
It doesn't do us any good now.
I know.
Well, say something. What do you like?
No, I had to. Oh, okay. Speaking of streaming, Arrested Development.
Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Returned. See, now I was never a fan of that show, so I didn't care. But when it rushed back, people went like, I'm going to binge watch all those Arrested Developments. Mm-hmm. And then you went to those people's Facebooks later, and they went like, I shouldn't have binge streamed all those Arrested Developments.
They watched them all at once.
Yeah, and I think that's a mistake.
And that loses its charm.
It lost its charm, yeah.
That is the difficulty with streaming, is that there is something about serialization. Mm-hmm. There's something about waiting a week to find out.
Well, you
out.
Have a week to think, like, what will they do on this show? Where will
now,
this go?
Arrested
what twists and turns will this take?
Arrested Development is not a serialized show.
Right. It is a little bit, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit.
There's a running story, but it's not like The Good Wife, where you can't wait.
You can't miss one or something.
You can't wait till next week to catch it and go, wow, that's what's going to happen.
Sure.
It's a comedy. So you just sit there and go, well, okay. But I thought the highlights of this season of Arrested Development, which was not as good as the previous three, there were some weak episodes. But on a good day, on a good episode of Arrested Development, it's still really fun.
Sure, okay.
They did one. Ben Stiller came in and played like a magician.
Yeah.
That Will Arnett was. They were trying to both convince each other they were gay.
Okay.
And it was a really funny bit, and it was a good show. Like to see those guys back. I enjoy that program in general.
Yeah, I never did, and when it came back to Netflix, I kind of shrugged my shoulders because I said, I didn't even see the old ones. I know the old ones are all on Netflix, too, so I could catch up easily if I want to, but at this point, I've been off the Arrested Development train.
Well,
number three.
Get ready to get nerded out.
Oh!
Number three, celebrating its 50th anniversary.
If you say comic book, man, I'm going to punch you in
it's
the
It's a
nose.
Show that debuted, believe it or not, debuted.
The 50th anniversary.
On the same day as JFK's assassination.
I'm guessing. I'm writing it down without you even saying.
You know what it is?
It's Doctor Who.
Woo!
Oh, Doctor Who. Oh, Doctor Who. Yeah, that now you're out of my wheelhouse with Doctor Who.
You know, and some people would, some fans would say, well, this wasn't the good season of Doctor Who. I enjoyed this season of Doctor
Who.
Is
Doctor Who, because it reboots, right? Isn't that the idea? They run like a series of Doctor Who's and then it comes back and it's basically the same story but with different actors? Or
yes.
How,
the Doctor himself.
It changes.
Is an immortal. He's an immortal guy.
Yeah.
Who every now and then regenerates when they get a new actor.
Yeah.
So it's always the same guy, but he has memories, but he's always a slightly...
Is there a goal for Doctor Who? Like Star Trek, they're exploring the universe.
Yes.
They're
going to new lands.
What is Doctor Who?
He is pretty much just a time traveler who goes and fixes problems throughout the universe. And he's kind of a British superhero.
Okay.
And by British superhero, he's a guy in a tweed jacket.
right.
You know, he's as British a character as you'll ever get.
Sure.
He rarely punches somebody.
Yeah.
He pretty much just uses his way. I'm quite clever.
Okay.
But I really did enjoy Doctor Who this year. Matt Smith was his... What happens is the guy gets the show, gets popular, and leaves after three or four years.
Because I'm guessing they pay the good doctor. I'm guessing they pay that actor $50 and some fish and chips to play that. I'm guessing it's not a big deal.
The show has got the biggest budget it's ever had.
But I was always thought that the appeal of Doctor Who was that it was low budget and shitty looking. I remember being a kid, and there were like nerdy guys in my school that were like, you got to watch Doctor Who, and I would watch it, and I go, this looks like ass.
Oh,
I've
okay.
seen Star Wars.
Right.
I fucked
Speaking
this shit.
Of that.
Yeah.
It's on Hulu.
So it's better now.
It's on, the old ones are on Netflix. And when I was a kid, the guy we remember is Tom Baker.
Okay.
Who lasted the longest, he did 8 seasons of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So he was the longest serving Doctor Who. I didn't know there was anybody else but him when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because they would
But there
just
were
show,
Doctor Who's before him.
There were, yes.
Oh.
There were.
I'm getting schooled in Doctor Who.
There were
Who.
Three guys before him. And they started getting younger and younger as they've gone along.
Okay.
But the guys aren't staying any longer.
Like
Matt Smith is, as a young guy, he's like 30. He could have stayed and played that part for 10
years.
But he's
in the prime of his career. He needs to go do something.
So what happens? It's now like a starter show for somebody.
Okay, yeah.
And they do like 3-4 years, and then they're like, we're out.
Yeah.
And whatever show keeps rolling along, he's a guy who travels through time. He's immortal. They reboot it all the time.
Okay.
But it's still a fun show.
And you're saying the effects are good now.
Well, they've put more money into it than they've ever had.
Yeah.
If you watch the old shows,
it was like shot on video, and it was like really awful.
Oh, yeah. I made a Facebook
green
post
screen
about this.
Effects. And
no gun ever shot a laser beam. They would shoot like nothing.
Yeah.
It would just make a sound effect.
Yeah.
sometimes the end of the gun would light up.
Yeah, right.
And there'd be a sound
it was
effect.
A light in it, yeah.
Or there would be like a flash and like a shitty...
Okay.
Like I said, it looks like somebody scribbled on a shrinky dink.
They'd superimpose a little
and
effect. Yeah.
No gun ever shot an actual like yeah. beam. You know, Star Trek, there'd be a beam that came out of the fucking gun.
Okay.
These almost never on Doctor Who. It was always shitty effects. Cheap plastic.
Yeah.
They look horrible, but fun stories, clever stories. I thought it was a good season for Doctor Who. They did a special where they brought back David Tennant, and they had two doctors, and that was great.
Okay.
So, it was a fun show.
All right, Doctor Who.
Number for sci-fi nerds.
Number two from...
Girls are into that show, by the way.
Girls are into Doctor... Yeah, I guess some girls, sure.
A lot of... Like, I was talking about this...
It probably has more... Well, it has a hunky kind of male
yeah.
lead, at least the current
You know what?
One
they
does.
Got smart. They started yeah. casting...
Better-looking dudes.
Better-looking guys.
Yeah.
Like, the
yeah.
last three Doctor Who's
sure. yeah.
were young, under under 40...
Right.
Or 40,
yeah.
whatever, looking guys. And the new one's a little older.
Okay.
The new guy's 50, but he might be kind of like your professor that
okay,
you have a crush
sure.
on. So
yeah.
the chicks might still like that.
Salt and pepper hair.
There you go.
Give me a number two, Corey.
My number two show. Nothing new about this one. Just more continued excellence. Mad Men.
Mad
on AMC.
Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't that never get... See, I thought people jumped off that bandwagon, like Walking Dead and stuff, but no. No?
You know, with every
there's
show...
There's enough, yeah, and everyone
with
bails.
Every show, there. Look, after your, like, fourth episode,
yeah.
on every show, people go, wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Wasn't as good as
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, some shows get better.
Sure.
And then they hit a point. Like, The Simpsons, nobody looks at the first two seasons of The Simpsons and goes, best shows ever.
Yeah.
But then they go, well, 3 through 7.
Yeah, 3
best
through
seasons
six
ever.
The best ever.
Of The Simpsons. And
everything else ass after that. So,
which is all a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
Shows that have a long life go yeah. through cycles. The Simpsons is not as good as it was
and, yeah.
before
yeah.
by any means.
Right.
But, you know, it's still a good show.
Yeah.
Mad Men has, I think, maintained a pretty consistent
right.
level.
Now, is...
The dips have not been as significant.
Is there an end game for that? Is
yeah,
there like
next year's
a finality
the last
of
it?
Okay, so yeah, they've
they have a
they've,
next season
they've
is their last
it,
one.
Yeah, because it'll be out of the 60s soon, right? If one
we're
season
edging,
is a year,
I think we're in 68.
Okay,
so now
so
we're about ready
yeah,
to leave.
That's about it.
Yeah. So, and Mad Men always does a jump of like, you know,
it's several months away.
Whenever a new season comes in,
yeah.
it generally
well
some amount of time.
Boardwalk Empire, I think, is they do a year every season. Because
yeah.
they're going through, you know, it's going to, I think it's the end of Boardwalk Empire is going to be the end of Prohibition. And then those guys are all out of business.
They're all out of work.
Yeah.
All right. Mad Men was still consistently a great show.
Yeah.
Great actors. They switched up a little bit, the formula, and they expanded. Don Draper hit about rock bottom.
Okay.
And then they're rebuilding him now. So, great show.
Yeah.
Number one show, I'm going to now bite. My fucking words.
Oh, shit. I
know don't
what
do
it
this
is.
Very often.
Oh, here
I'm
he is.
I'm going to apologize.
Corey's going to come back. Yes, I know what you're going to say.
About as this was happening.
Yeah.
As this season of the show
about
was
about a
airing,
month ago, 2 months ago?
No,
now?
This would have been back in like August, September. When was the finale
okay.
of it?
I thought it was in the fall.
I think it ran in the summer, early fall.
Okay.
I was so disgusted. By everybody on Facebook who liked Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad
is my number
was
one.
Was ridiculous. Okay. But Breaking Bad, just from...
But thanks to the magic of the internet,
you've been
I
catching
caught
up on
and
him.
I watched
and
on,
like,
on Amazing okay. Breaking Bad, and I have to admit,
yeah.
it's a great fucking show.
Well, here's what Breaking Bad did that it bucked the trend that Mad Men and Walking Dead and some of these shows they're doing. It didn't... It peaked at the end. It didn't get its max viewership until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read all these articles about, like, you know, the social media references. It's what it is people were catching up with it on Netflix. The people weren't watching it on AMC,
yeah.
so the ratings went through the roof. And it all sort of culminated in this final season of Breaking Bad, where at that point, everyone was caught up and everyone could enjoy it. So it sort
when
of
I finally
grew its audience to where it became a zenith.
Well,
because Breaking Bad was that show... It was always kind of that other show on AMC. It wasn't Walking Dead. It wasn't Mad Men. It was sort of that third show and the totem pole of AMC. And then maybe because the other ones dipped, it was able to shoot up.
Yeah, and if you look at my shows, they're all HBO, AMC for the most part. I had like one network show.
Corey's a snob. Thank you.
No, I'm just saying. They're better.
Well, you also watch Bar Rescue, so don't call yourself too much of a snob.
Yes, I know. And Shark Tank.
And Shark Tank.
I had a couple.
Shark Tank is, you know, they think Shark Tank's good for kids and stuff. because it teaches them like value of money and all kinds. It's semi-educational.
What I like about what I like about Shark Tank and Bar Rescue,
yeah,
is they do break down. If you watch those shows, you will learn something about.
Yeah, I think so.
Bar Rescue, for all its shtick and you're out of control.
Yeah.
You gotta handle your business.
Yeah.
And he yells at people.
Yeah.
If you do watch it, you learn about managing a bar.
I think so. Sure. Yeah.
You learn one thing they're big on. Liquor is a higher profit margin than beer.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta attract women. You got all these. You learn about bar management, and for you and me who do comedy,
we do comedy.
Who spend a lot of our lives in bars.
Yeah.
To me, I go to shitty bars all the time with horrible service.
They can all use to be rescued,
right? How many times you go on these roads and go somewhere in Indiana, and there's some fucking indifferent hillbilly.
Well, you know,
and they're all their old rummies are sitting drinking at the bar, and you see this on Bar Rescue.
Entertainment is part of the experience in a bar. Comedy is part of that, and it's often overlooked.
they had one where he kicked the bar had a hypnotist, and Taffer came in there and kicked the hypnotist right out.
Absolutely,
Why would you ever do that at a bar?
It's so stupid. All right, so Breaking Bad, Corey eats his words.
I'm going to eat a big dick.
Well, when we discussed that, which we did an episode, I don't know, whenever it ended, we dumped on it. But I'm dumping on the phenomenon. Yes. I'm dumping on people who treat shows as if they're real, which Sopranos was a big thing, was annoying.
Dum-dum.
Which everybody was like.
Every dum-dum was on Facebook going, Breaking Bad is the greatest show that ever
happened. Right, and they're calling it the greatest show of all time.
It's a great show, though. It is a great show, and it's a real slow build. What happened to me is I watched the first season of it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and then I kind of lost.
How many did it run?
Five.
Five, okay.
So, and then through the magic of Netflix, I started watching it again. Yeah. And boy, season four is fantastic.
Okay.
It builds to an amazing crescendo.
Okay.
And then season five, nuts.
All right.
So great show.
Breaking Bad. Well, maybe I'll watch that someday.
610-552-0746.
Tell us about. No, don't tell us about Breaking Bad. We know.
But, you know, call
in.
It's
okay.
No one
ever
does.
But, you know, my feeling is a lot of the reasons I don't watch these shows, and we'll get to this in a minute about something else, but. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time management. How many hours are in the day? How many hours are in, you know, a week? How much television do I actually want to watch? And also, I think there is a difference, too, and we'll get to this. I'm going to go through my other shows that I like. But there's a difference between watching, like, Mythbusters or Survivor or Shipping Wars or Shark Tank and watching Boardwalk Empire or Walking Dead. You have to sort of actively watch those. You have to sit down and really fucking pay attention. And you can't be on Twitter or you can't be farting around when you're watching those dramas. You know, that you really, they're sort of intense. You really have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that sort of draining. Sometimes I like the television to be more casual. That's why I watch a lot of football.
Well, that's why Bar Rescue.
Yeah, Bar Rescue, anything like that. It's you can sort of kind of get through it, and they're over in a half hour or an hour, and, you know, when you cut up the commercials, they're over in 40 minutes.
I feel this way.
So sometimes when I just go, you got to watch Breaking Bad, and you've got to watch all of them, and you got to watch them now, I go, I don't want to sit in my fucking room and sit there and watch Breaking Bad and watch the world pass me by. I got shit to do.
Well,
you know, I just don't want to sit there and binge watch
these
20
are...
hours of a guy running meth. I just, it's not fun for me.
Well,
I'll get to it sometime.
The shows I picked, the one Mad Men and Breaking Bad, I think are the top shows.
Okay.
I mean, in terms of, there are a lot of dramas.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy. People go, that's a great show.
Right, well, yeah.
Sons of Anarchy, I kind of feel like it's just another soap
opera.
Never
seen it. Yeah, I don't care.
Whereas I think Mad Men and Breaking Bad are really telling stories on a high level.
Okay.
And are trying to make commentary about a bigger...
Right.
About the culture. They're telling
I agree. Something like, you know, Walking Dead is a B movie. It's there to give you some scares.
That's why I didn't
some
have
shocks.
What's it tell you?
The drama. They've had real drama. They've had real emotional parts of that. But at the end of the day, it's a horror movie expanded to a show, and that's fine. But again, I can only take so many. I don't want to be like people go like, if you watch Breaking Bad, you'll be hooked. And I go, I don't want to be fucking hooked. That's the worst. I don't want to be hooked on anything. I got to be hooked now? I got to be fucking scratching at my skin to watch a Breaking Bad? No, I'm cool.
I'll tell you that.
I like to have fun when I watch television.
Breaking Bad, more than any show.
And so I pick some of these where they're a little more fun and casual viewing.
Well, that's what The Good Wife, though. Okay, The Good Wife is a great, like, weekly pulp kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't sit there and go, Breaking Bad, the way it is set up on Netflix, the endings of those shows, they always, the kind of
they
the
lead
pattern
right
of the show is,
yeah.
it's a slow build.
Yeah.
And then they go, right at the end, you're like, holy shit, well, did he just blow that
Boardwalk
guy's face
Empire
off.
Does that. Yeah. Game of Thrones does that. Yeah. You know, there's shows that just, the end is always some extreme.
Game of Thrones, I can't
get into. We're going to get to Game of Thrones. All right, let me go to my other shows that I like.
Oh, you have an alternate list?
Yeah. I have an alternate list, and again, if you can chime in on these. But, you know, I still watch Big Brother, and, you know, again, I'm owning up to watching it. It's if you liked it before...
I abandoned you.
Okay, here's the problem with Big Brother.
Yeah.
If you liked it before, it's pretty much the same thing. And that's the pro and the con of it. It's sort of like Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing you saw before. This one got a lot of headlines because there was racism and, you know, anti-gay stuff that was being spotted off in the house. So it got some headlines. It wasn't the greatest season of Big Brother ever. But I do watch that show, and again, I think it is like Survivor. There is inherent drama in the game, and I think that makes for interesting television.
Here's the thing about Big Brother that I figured out: the real world, which was the predecessor of Big Brother, sure. started off casting a diverse, interesting group of people.
Yeah,
that ended about season five.
Yeah.
On the real world.
Yeah,
and after Miami, they started casting.
Yeah,
bigger
the history
and bigger
of that show is.
Dumbers.
Well, they right? also they faked that show up when they realized the real drama wasn't as interesting to mm-hmm. people as it used to be. They decided, or when
they
cast,
started giving them jobs,
when they cast a bunch of lamos like that London season where it just
oh god,
not enough happened. And
they kind
know,
of loved the London season.
I kind of did too, but you know, London's got a different vibe than some of these other cities, and it is a little more laid back and it's not intense.
Well,
so. You know, they had to sort
they
of fake that, yeah.
They started calculating the drama. And then what Big Brother is,
yeah.
it's all the stupid people from, like...
Right, well...
Like the Las Vegas show right. season of... they pretty much casted porn actresses.
Yeah, well...
And that's what they do on Big Brother. And
it's
I don't want to watch.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch dumb.
But
people.
You know, it what they've done is they've taken the real world and they've layered this Survivor-esque game over top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the game on Big Brother to me is more interesting than the personalities. Once in a while, you dig at mm-hmm. a good personality who's fun to watch. But a lot of it is just the game itself is interesting. So anyway, I picked Big Brother. Now, I'm going to talk about two shows here. And one would probably be in the category of I didn't watch enough and it's undetermined if it's good. But the first one I like, and that's Inside Amy Schumer.
Oh.
I don't think I've seen them all. I think that's a good show. And I realize why, you know, all these other shows like Chappelle's Show and a lot of these sketch shows... I've never been a big fan of a lot of these Comedy Central
That's
things.
That's just not your vibe.
Swardson and some of these other guys with their shows. And I said, why don't I like these? And I realized why when I watched Amy Schumer last night again. Because
mm-hmm.
it's on Amazon Instant Video, so they're all on there. And I watched it. And then I watched the Kroll Show with Nick Kroll. And I kind of like the Nick Kroll Show, but here's why the Amy Schumer Show is better and is better than those shows. They don't do the wacky costumes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do the like celebrity impersonations
yeah.
that a lot of these other shows do. Are you coughing? What are you doing?
I'm about to sneeze. From
oh, my okay.
Cat.
Do you want an Allegra? No. I got one over there.
Sorry. Right. Okay.
You don't want an Allegra?
I just want to okay. not have a cat.
I got you. No, all I right. understand. I feel the same way. But here's the point. And I feel like it avoids a lot of the traps of Chappelle's Show, where it was just, or it in Living Color, where it was just an outfit and people were or Saturday Night Live. Where they're just doing these celebrity impersonations mm-hmm. and they're putting the guys in drag or they're singing songs. And Inside Amy Schumer, the sketches are usually about real, more like real life sort of situations. And it's better that way. It's
Her
not just.
Sketches are
it's
comedy
not,
premises.
It's not Amy Schumer acting like Kim Kardashian. And that annoys me on SNL. And that annoys me on those other Comedy Central shows. Kroll, I only watched one Nick Kroll, one of the Kroll shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of avoided that, but he was dressed as a woman the whole time with Jenny Slate.
I saw that.
And I went like, okay, this is okay.
Publicity.
But, yeah, and it was okay. I mean, I thought he did a good job with some of those things. And mm-hmm. it did make me laugh a little bit. But I felt like Amy Schumer never... They don't go for the cheap pop on Amy Schumer like they do on some of these other sketch shows.
The sketches on Amy Schumer are basically her stand-up premises.
Yeah, and they're expanded to sketches.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I like that about that show.
Amy Schumer show, if she made like a movie with all of those sketches as like, you know, like a lot of it is about, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends mm-hmm. or whatever, husbands and wives, it would be a real good movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's done well. And then she like talks to little kids, and she does a pretty good job with that. It's funny, you know. They cut in her stand up, which is usually pretty good. So
I think it's
a very well done sketch show. And it's not because here's the thing with that: some of these shows are just they're kind of bro shows. you know, guys pop for the character, or they just remember they have some hack line that everyone uses. And I think that she avoids that. And I think they deliberately looked at it and said, we're not going to do that. You know, the Chris Rock show used to do that, which I know a lot of people liked on HBO. Mm-hmm. Chappelle show does that. And it avoids all of those sort of those stereotypes of the sketch show. And I like that.
I would agree with you. And Amy Schumer's would be on my runner-up list too.
Yeah, sure. So
another show you probably don't like, but a sketch show I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a little more erratic, and it does get into that shticky a little bit, is Key and Peele.
Yeah, I never see it.
I think Key and Peele has some good sketches.
But again, I feel like they appeal to college kids. First of all, let me just explain this. If you're in college, you don't fucking know what's funny. Nothing. You haven't lived fucking life. You don't fucking know what's funny. Because when I was in college, it was the kids in the fucking hall were the funniest fucking thing in the world. Put that on now. Put that on now and laugh. I'll fucking pay you to fucking laugh at that dumb shit. I was fucking a Canadian almost running. It wasn't funny. All these guys in the 60s, everyone was fucking, oh, the guy's walking funny on Monty Python. Laugh riot. Nobody in college knows what's funny.
Nobody has been more wrong.
Sense of humors are not developed. Key and Peele, I've never seen it, but it strikes me as one of those shows that every guy under 24 thinks is the funniest fucking thing in the world.
I'll tell you what.
And it's not about anything. It's not about the real world. Amy Schumer's sketch show is about the real world.
It's not about
dressing up like a couple of ladies and wearing high heels and I can't walk down the street. Oh. And I don't know that I apologize to Key and Peele. I've never seen your fucking show. But it seems like it's one of those.
I will stand by Kids in the Hall.
Okay.
Some of the Kids in the Hall stuff is really still hilarious.
Right.
The fucking Doors fan bit.
I don't know.
You don't like sketch comedy.
I think it's lame. I think that comedy, stand-up comedy, is about people's real lives. It's about real-world situations. Mm-hmm. And I think sketches... Watch SNL. Watch SNL.
Oh, please.
But watch it. Don't just fucking
child,
turn on.
Please.
Write down what's pre-taped and what's live. You know what's live on SNL? 30 minutes a night. That's it. Because all that shit is pre-taped. And the pre-taped stuff can be funny. But that it's just lame. It's time filler.
Well, it's 30 minutes because they have to.
How often do they sing and dance? Every fucking show they sing and dance. Well, it's not comedy. I'm sorry. Singing and dancing isn't comedy.
Well, they retired.
It may make you laugh, but that doesn't make it comedy.
You're so
it's
right
bad.
Because the like here's the set.
It's a cheap pop. It's
these
a cheap
are,
laugh.
These are the worst writers they've had maybe in the history of SNL. In terms of,
I'm referring to the 40-year history of the show, but
well, at times
you can get specific about this year. I haven't watched enough.
But at times they've had good writers on the show, like Bob Smigel. And when Franken was there, when they would actually write political sketches on the old days of SNL, like Al Franken and Jim Downey would write funny political satire.
I'm not saying there's
nobody on the show now.
Saying they're untalented humps, but what I'm saying is the show, they do what they do to get their laughs, and you do cheap garbage shit. It's the same thing as Leno.
You know what they did?
The same thing as Leno that does all these cheap fucking gags.
You know what they did, though? They hired a bunch of kids that, like, Jay Farrow.
Yeah.
Stand-up who does some impressions.
Sure.
That's what they hired.
It's okay.
But they're not... they used to have guys like Colin Quinn. They used to have
Dennis
Leary. I mean, Dennis Miller.
Norm, yeah.
Dennis Miller, yeah. Norm.
Yeah.
They used to actually have really good
really
comedians.
Really funny dudes. And
now they hire a couple kids from the Groundlings or Upright Citizens.
Right.
And
maybe those guys will be funny. I don't know. But
it seems like their writing's weak.
I just feel like when you watch these shows, when you know comedy like I know comedy, when I see somebody...
Oh, like
when
Joel
I
knows
see
comedy.
Some, I'm an expert in comedy.
I'm no fag. I'll tell you that.
I'm an expert in comedy.
I'm no fag, but I know comedy.
When you bring out somebody that can't sing,
callbacks.
Singing is always funny. I mean, but it's a cheap laugh. It's a cheap pop. It's not,
SNL's got so many sins.
It's so many cheap laughs. And I feel like that's what these sketch shows
do. The number one weakness of SNL is what's funny is I've read two SNL history books.
Yeah.
And they always say in the beginning of the show, nobody wanted it to be like Carol Burnett, where they stop and they break up at their own bits.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon was the king of fucking laughing at his own
bits. He's the worst, yeah.
So now that laughing at the bits, it still happens.
Right.
And... the whole thing on SNL was they bring on what's not never funny when you do sketch comedy is when you bring on
the guy you're parodying.
When you bring on the guy you parody. Because, Jimmy Fallon does the Barry Gibb talk show.
Yeah.
which my wife thinks is funny.
Yeah.
She has a guilt.
Your wife is not an expert in comedy.
It's a guilty pleasure for her. Right. She giggles at it because they're singing silly, and they're doing. It's kind of funny that he picked a Bee Gee to impersonate.
It's okay.
But they do the Barry Gibb talk show. Yeah. They brought out Barry Gibb.
Right. Yeah.
And he did nothing.
He did. Yeah.
Barry Gibb came out and waved. Yeah, right. Like, I'm Barry Gibb. There's no joke there.
He's not. It's.
And when you're parodying some. Okay. The Ben Stiller show would do media parodies, but they never brought on.
Ben Stiller did a nice job with those on that show. Punched, I like Ben Stiller.
When he did the Yakov Smirnoff bit where they did Lenny.
Uh-huh.
Like that's how you do it. If you're going to parody somebody or Mr. Show, when they would parody somebody, you never saw the fucking. Oh, let's because you know why? Because SNL's a live show.
It is,
and when they go
and it's 90
Madonna's
minutes.
Here, everybody pops. It goes, wah! And that's all it is. It's cheap.
It's just it's cheap pops, and that's what I feel like a lot. And again, Key and Peele, I apologize to them. I don't know that show, but it seems like it's one of those shows. It doesn't seem like a show that I'd like.
Key and Peele has it is erratic.
Yeah.
I don't like all of it.
Right.
But they do pretty funny sketches. Like, here's one example of just to do a little bit of a segment.
Okay.
They had a guy who was like a black substitute teacher at a white school.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing the like, now where is Black Hay? Mm-hmm. Is there a Black Hay here? And the guy's like, it's Blake.
Okay.
Right? It's just, I like that kind of stuff.
I might give that a look. I'll give Nick Kroll another look.
Erratic too.
I'll give Nick Kroll another look. It's okay. I mean, I don't hate it, but I'll give another look. Let's move on because I know it's getting late here and you're going to have to get going. I watch Bellator MMA. You don't watch MMA, but it's on Spike. I watch that. Tosh.0, again, I don't watch everyone. I think Tosh.0 is pretty good. My buddy Eddie Gosling, who's a guy that I've done comedy with a bunch of times, is one of the writers there. And Eddie's one of the funniest comics around. And I think Tosh, I don't like Tosh. I don't like him, but I think his show is funny. And so I like what they do with the clips.
Yeah.
I like the Web Redemption stuff. I think he does a good job. I think he does sort of those Conan-esque sort of bits.
I don't like
And I
Tosh
like that about Tosh. Okay. That's where we
don't
differ.
Care for him.
Okay.
His tone is just really, to me, intolerable.
Well, but again, I think he does stuff that is not... I think he's on a different level than some
really?
Of these other...
Really? His level is often... he's naked and running around going, look how naked I am.
Yeah, that's true.
I kinda...
You know what? I can... Believe me, I can justify some things, and maybe Tosh, I can't. But I think Tosh,
I prefer the soup.
Okay,
if we're gonna watch a clip show.
Okay,
just because Tosh's clips are internet clips of guys lighting farts.
Yeah,
the soup is like showing you how horrible television.
Okay.
is. They're both not good shows.
Okay.
But I would go with the soup a little bit. I like Joel McHale better.
I like Tosh's. Because, again, when it comes to clips, I'll take ridiculousness over those other shows as far as clips go.
I don't like any of them.
But when it comes to, like, the original stuff he does, the Web Redemption stuff, some of the original sketches, I think Tosh is
fine. Watch ICP Theater.
That's my next on my list.
Before I
watch
Tosh.
That's the next on my list.
And that show's horrible.
I watched I knew everybody on every episode of season one of Insane Club Posse Theory. Mm-hmm. I had all either met them or they were friends of mine. And I think
amateur comedians think they're
on
funny?
Season two of that. And I do think, there's only so much before you kind of go, I've seen this already.
Who is
Once
the,
you've seen it. But
who is the shithead that sits there and laughs at them? Who is that? They got a flunky.
Okay, no. Well, first of all, the flunky, as you said, is changed. They got a new flunky. Well, the original flunky, in your words, flunky. Since I know the guy and he's my friend, it was Vampiro.
Yeah, Stooge,
the wrestler who was.
No, that's not the guy. There's a new guy. That's a dummy.
The new guy is my very good friend Kevin Gill.
Well, he's a
who's a really bright.
Well, he's a talented.
Who's a really bright, funny guy. He's the color commentator.
But they don't let him say anything
for Juggalo Championship Wrestling. I think they would do better. I haven't even seen season two, so I can't even comment on Kevin.
His role on the show.
Okay.
Here's what they have.
I understand.
Greg the Hammer Valentine comes out.
He's
wearing
the usher.
A ridiculous.
He's the usher
butler costume.
Right. Yes.
And he's got like a sleeveless shirt with little cuffs and a hat.
Yeah.
And Greg the Hammer Valentine says nothing.
He acts like himself. I've hung out with Greg Valentine.
Greg doesn't say
he
much.
He says nothing. You hung out with Greg Valentine. Greg says nothing.
Doesn't say much.
Greg is a big dummy. He sits there and he acts like a big dummy, and he's great at it.
Once in a while he plays.
I haven't seen Kevin Gill's contribution to the show.
Contribution.
I'm gonna have to watch it. Kevin is a really bright guy.
Here's Kevin's contribution.
And he's a funny guy. Well, you know what? He's there. Look, could the show use a little more Upchuck the Clown? Probably.
Yeah,
it probably would be better
you were on it,
with Upchuck the Clown. And maybe
on it?
Maybe Upchuck the Clown will be on a future episode.
Where did they shoot that, New York?
They shoot in New York, so. We'll see. You know what?
Joel, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I know they're your employers.
They are. They're my friends.
You know my opinions on the...
And we like each other. We're friends.
Okay.
We mutually admire each other's work.
My opinion about ICP and the whole Juggalo Nation is well known in stats.
Yes, yeah.
The show, they sit there.
Yeah.
And fucking Joe thinks he's so funny.
Joe is funny, though.
I don't find it.
Okay, well, that's humor subjective.
He said one thing. He was watching a Pink video, and he goes, I bet Pink's feet really stink. And I thought that was just funny for some reason.
I like the show. I didn't watch season two yet. They're all on
my
DVR.
You're cracking up. You're popping
I like
him.
Joe. Joe is funny. And I know Joe.
It's not.
And I've seen Joe when Joe's not funny. When Joe's pissed off or something and Joe's not
Joey
funny.
Joey is funnier in a weird kind of ridiculous way. Than Joe. Joe thinks he's brilliant.
Joe
and he's a dump. They're both dunces.
All right, come on. I actually read it as one of my best shows. Other shows.
You're full of shit.
I put it on Twitter. And the other show, and it ended this year, and it still counts as 2013. But I have The Office, the final season of The Office. I will acknowledge. The final season of The Office.
Well, I guess as a farewell, hearty salute.
It was a good.
I would guess I'd have to say that show was. Unwatchable near the end.
All right. Here's shows that I've only seen a few of them, and they could go either way. I'll give you where I'm leaning. I watched The Americans on FX. I only watched the first 90-minute debut show. I watched it the other day. Very good. It's sort of Homeland in reverse. They're Russian spies undercover in the United States, and you're following them as the FBI guy is sort of on to them.
Okay. I've not seen it.
It takes place in the 80s. It's Cold War stuff. Very well done, though.
All right.
You would like it if you saw it, I think. It's a good show. Carrie Russell. I still got a thing for her.
Oh.
Still cute.
She was in a horrible, horrible movie this year.
What was the name of that?
Austin Land.
Okay. Mob City on TNT. This was Frank Darabont, who did Walking Dead and Shawshank Redemption, made this with the guy that played Shane from Walking Dead. I watched the first, you know, they did these six episodes, two episodes a night on TNT, and I watched the first two, and I haven't gone back to the last four, so I guess that's kind of my review.
Okay.
But they had Simon Pegg. It takes place in the 40s. It's film noir. It's, you know, who are the gangsters in L.A.? Meyer Lansky's running around, and who's the other guy? Bugsy Siegel is there.
I haven't seen either of those shows yet.
Yeah.
So
Bugsy, you know what, Mob City, I'm kind of like my hand is, I don't know if I'm going back for more. Americans, I'm going back for more. I'm going to watch that, and the second season starts in February on FX. Orange is the New Black on Netflix. First of all, if someone would have told me you see Laura Prepon's tits 30 seconds in, I would have watched this right away. Why I waited six fucking goddamn months to watch Orange is the New Black. Here's my problem with Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
I have a penis, and it's clearly a show
for women.
It's for women. It's made by women. It's made for women. It tells a woman's story.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very, very well done. It didn't really make me laugh ever.
Didn't engage me.
I watched the first one. It's an hour long. I may go back for more of that. I may not. I just don't know, okay? Staying with Netflix, I watched House of Cards again, only the first one. I thought House of Cards was very well done. It's David Fincher, it's a remake of a British show, House of Cards. Mm-hmm. There's a 70s show. It's actually on Netflix as well. Where it's like a lord or something, and
it's a good show.
It's a good show. It's very well done. Fincher, I'm a big fan of Fincher. I've only watched the first one. I'll probably go back for more of that. Amazon has original programming now, Corey Hall, and they have a show called Alpha House, which I watch with John Goodman. There are a bunch of Republican senators living in a house together.
Which is a real thing. There's a real house.
There's real houses because these guys don't want to keep a home. You know, so they have to live somewhere near D.C. So a bunch of guys live in a house together.
There was a show called K Street that wasn't very good, but it was also like that.
But, you know, they do a thing. It's Gary Trudeau who did with Doonesbury.
Doonesbury, yeah.
And so, you know, it's really left-wing. You know, these guys are all Republicans. And, like, one of them's gay. And, like, John Goodman's just kind of a rich asshole. who was like from South Carolina. So, you know, they're kind of making fun of Republicans, and it kind of works. It kind of doesn't. I'm going to spoil this on some level, but it will make you want to see it more.
Okay.
Bill Murray is in the first episode, which is unbilled. And apparently he comes back at some point in the season for another episode.
Hey, a little Bill Murray never hurt.
And when I saw Bill Murray, I went, like, holy shit, this is Bill Murray. And he was funny. And then he was in the episode, and then he was out. And
Haven't seen it yet.
Alpha House, again, I'll probably watch another one, but I'm not sure if I'm in it for the long haul. Their other show, which is weird, the first two shows
on Amazon.
How many
more other shows do you have?
I got about 20 more shows. Listen, I'm going to go. Listen,
I got to go.
I know you got to go. Why don't you show up on time when you want to?
Listen, how dare you?
Betas is the other new Amazon show, which is weird that the first show was Alpha House and the second show was Beta. That's kind of an odd coincidence or not.
Really, way to
it's about four guys who live in Silicon Valley and they're running a startup. It's a comedy. It sort of strikes me a little bit as Workaholics meets sort of The Office. I said nobody's in the only star in this is Ed Begley, which is, you know, hardly a star. But I after watching the Kroll show, Kroll's buddy, who's like one of the three main players in Kroll show, is on Beta. Okay. Is one of the guys as sort of the
huge
old
stars.
Bearded guy. It's kind of funny. I'll probably watch more Betas. It's not great. You know, my thumb is sort of in the middle, but I think I'll go back. Regretfully, I stopped watching these, but I think these are good shows. I just, for time sake, Parks and Rec, I'm not quitting it. It's
I
on my DVR.
It.
It's not as good as it used to be,
nope.
Right? Do we both agree? But it's
too
still
much,
okay.
Too much hugging and learning.
Too much, okay. Top Gear, I'm sure, is still great. I just haven't gotten to the new ones
who
of that.
Cares?
Newsroom, I stopped watching, but I enjoyed Newsroom when I watched it. That show is a little too heavy. Like, to sit down and watch that, it's heavy.
I can't take Mary
It's
Poppins.
Intense. Yeah, it's intense.
Oh, we've got to get back to telling the real news.
That's true. Yeah.
I hate her with
Again, I like my television to be a little more casual. I don't want to watch the guys screaming at each other like the Newsroom. Well, you don't watch it either, so
pick
on me.
I don't like it.
The Killing came back for season 3, and I watched
talk
the first
about,
two religiously.
Drag.
Yeah, that's a drag too, and it's on Amazon. It's on Netflix now, so maybe I'll get back to that again. I liked the first two seasons.
That show feels like homework.
Joel Kinnaman is great. That guy's a great actor, and I hope he's good in RoboCop. But we'll see. Modern Family. I love you. I want to go back. I just haven't gotten
I've
to it.
Watched
I apologize.
A handful of them, and I want to quit that show, but it's not. Bad.
Yeah,
I just don't
bad.
Watch every one of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch it. It's building up on my DVR. Pawn Stars, I stopped watching, but I think most of us did.
Why would
that's just everyone has OD'd on that, and it's kind of over.
It's over. Who cares?
New Girl, I stopped watching, and I still record it every week, but people tell me it's awful now. You know, they got Jess and the other guy. They're a couple now, and I guess the one guy moved out, and it's just not good
they
now.
They brought back
Damon Wayans.
Brought back Damon Wayans.
And I'm just like, what
New,
are they
New
doing?
Girl was never that strong.
It was never that good anyway, so maybe I'm done with that. Maybe I should quit that.
I watch it occasionally, and it's diverting. Jesus!
Here's the list of shows I quit. I think those Hershey's Nuggets are making me burp.
How are you burping?
I don't know. Here's the shows I actually genuinely quit.
Okay.
Like these other ones I've just ignored and I want to watch. Mm-hmm. How I Met Your Mother.
Thank God.
They finally revealed the mother and I didn't see it. I waited.
I don't know why.
Nine
you
fucking
that
seasons
show.
To wait for the mother and now the mother's on and I don't care anymore. Who cares? Game of Thrones. I want to know what's going on in my television. Thereby, no more Game of Thrones in my life. Get out. See ya. It doesn't make sense. You don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like how you say, like, you watch Mad Men and you sort of wonder what's going to happen from week to week? This show, a dragon could fly down. You know, somebody's farts could catch on fire and burn down the castle.
I got to tell you.
Anything could happen on this show. There's no rules. There's no plot line that you can follow.
You know what happened to my life?
It's who gives a shit?
You know what happened to my life? I turned 35.
Yeah.
And I no longer had an interest in fantasy.
Well, I have no
I loved, I read fantasy books as a kid.
Right.
I read all the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
All the Tolkien. Discworld, all the shit.
Yeah.
And now, if it involves a guy with a horse and a sword and an orc, fuck you.
Game of Thrones.
Hobbit, Game of Thrones, all that shit, throw it in the
ocean.
I'm
out with Game of Thrones.
I'm done with it.
I apologize.
I used to play
like
World
it.
Of Warcraft. I'm done with all of that.
All right. Speaking of sci-fi, Falling Skies, I sat through two
That's
seasons
another show. It's
waiting for that to do
pretty boring.
To get good, and then I gave up on the third. Yeah. Fringe ended, and I did not stick around for the final season of Fringe.
I feel bad about that because
I do too.
It was a good show. I might go back.
It's on Netflix. You can watch them. And this is a big announcement for you, Corey, and this was, I don't know how much of our friendship has hinged on our enjoyment of this show together.
Yeah.
I quit Amazing Race. I quit.
Did you?
I quit. And here's why I quit.
We watch a show religiously for years.
I know. And I here's why I quit. The fall episodes are on Sunday nights mm-hmm. when I'm watching. I'm already taping Amazing. I'm right. already taping Homeland. Boardwalk Empire, Walking Dead, and the Sunday Night Football game I watch. It's too much on Sunday. Maybe I should watch these spring ones, but I think I'm going to try to go cold turkey.
Well,
and I've seen the world.
It's an all-star season.
Is it really? I got to watch.
And
you motherfucker.
And they're bringing back Bopper and Bipper,
okay.
our favorites.
Now I'm watching.
I know.
I'm quitting in the fall. I'm quitting because in the fall there's no time. In the spring I might have time.
Well, the problem with The Amazing Race is we've done it.
Yeah.
There's nowhere they're going to go.
We've been around the world.
There's nowhere
I've seen
they're going to go that we're like... Yeah. Maybe they go to Antarctica or some shit, but there's nowhere they can go.
And then my bad shows, Vice on HBO, I thought I'd like that, but no, it was not good.
You know
good.
What the big problem with Vice is?
What's that?
The fucking narrator. Shane himself is a turd.
I don't,
He drags it down. That could be a great
show. I love the premise of it, but when I try to watch it, it's no good.
Well, the Vice for the North Korea episode with Rodman was genius.
Okay.
That was absolutely genius.
I literally sat down one night with a girl. We tried to watch Vice. She said she liked Vice.
Yeah,
I said I liked Vice.
Neither
of us liked.
You know what? He should not be the host of the show.
Okay,
he should let someone interesting.
Let's Ask America, a show done completely on webcams.
Oh God!
Get off of my television. Yeah. Catfish on MTV, which is a reality show based on a phony movie.
Uh-huh.
Somehow people are watching that fucking bullshit. Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm.
You know this is. I'm gonna get paper that has this watermarked.
Mm-hmm.
Two Broke Girls is awful television. That will live. That can be on a stone slab because that will never get good.
That show's horrible.
Okay, Duck Dynasty, which I've never seen.
Fuck
but
those.
They're assholes.
Fuck them in the
so
ear.
So you're on the list.
You want to talk about fake bullshit.
Okay. Yeah.
What a bunch of crap.
I know you got to go. Dr. Oz and the Doctors. All you do is scare people. Get off. Get off That's TV. True. All you do is scare people. Goodbye. Get out.
Dr. Oz is awful.
Dish Nation.
Fuck
which
them.
Which we've actively hated. They made a lot of changes. They got rid of Todd Pettengill and the other guy that looked like two women.
Oh, those guys, off.
They've gone with a younger, better-looking panel of radio guys.
They're still terrible.
In fact, I actually think a lot of it now I almost feel is like not even real radio.
No, it's not.
I think they throw people in a studio and pretend like it's radio.
What I think they do on that show
or they
is,
tape it afterwards.
They tape it after.
Yeah,
I think
and
what
it's
they were
not
well, they
live,
Blaine,
yeah.
Blaine and Allison from Detroit got thrown off because she wasn't attractive.
Yeah.
And Todd Pettengill, which was awful, and Gary, what was the other fucking idiot?
It was Todd Pettengill and
Scott Shannon. Scott Shannon.
Yeah.
That was fascinatingly bad.
Yeah, those guys were all wearing wigs.
No, you know what
stuff,
it is?
Yeah.
They just tape it in a radio studio.
I think
studio.
They do, yeah.
I think these guys do. Oh, and Kid Craddock died.
Yeah, Kid Craddock died.
And they're still doing, his sidekicks are doing
a
show.
See, I think they've turned it into more like TMZ, where it's a bunch of people in a room just talking.
And it's Kelly Raspberry.
Kelly Raspberry.
It's the worst fucking show
ever. It's still
ever.
Awful, but they have improved it, based on our suggestions. You know,
hideous.
And here's the worst show on television. This is the worst show on television. Remember back. Go back in your memory banks to what was last year's number one unanimous most loved show by me and Corey.
It was
called Girls.
Oh.
And they shit the bed in a legendary way in season two. They took a show that was completely fun and made it ridiculous. And I literally, I could feel my tampon just in my ass, just fucking. Girls is the worst. Season 3 starts this week. I'm going to give it a shot, but somehow somebody's going to write one of the great books ever about how Girls went, the fall of that, amazing.
Let's see.
How that went from being great, because you didn't even mention it this
year.
Let
us see. No, I thought you were going
to
get to it.
Season 2 was the worst.
Let us
thing
see
I've
what
seen.
Happens with season 3, but I will agree with you that season 2 was a letdown.
It dropped.
I don't think it was the worst because I did enjoy some of the episodes.
And considering where it came
the one
from,
where she was all coked up and she
was
making out with
fun.
With the guy from Parks and Rec who plays Councilman Jam. There were some good episodes.
I have an interview with Lena Dunham addressing season 2. You want to hear it?
Yeah, what a bitch.
Season 2 was polarizing for some fans, Lena. What kind of feedback do you get? Some people liked it, and some started to feel like the characters were real people, and some people were like, it went off the rails. I thought I was watching a fucking comedy. I think season 3 splits the difference between zany hijinks and dark intensity. Like the one where they went upstate to like Jess's parents.
Yeah, it was weird.
Holy shit, that was awful.
You know, what,
just depressing. Just like not fun.
The thing about Girls is the first season I thought she was doing an intentional parody
of
the behavior of these people.
Right.
Then I realized she wasn't.
And
then you're talking about college people being dummies.
Right.
She's not old enough to know.
Here's the problem with Girls. And I know you got to go.
No,
you can stop looking at your watch. It's time to go. I think the problem is she thinks that whatever her real life experience is, that's going to make for good television. And that's not why girls work. Girls worked because people were living vicariously through these characters. Mm-hmm. And people want to live, they want to live vicariously when someone's having a good time. And when someone's down and out, they don't really give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to watch that. And it's not fun. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That show, for
note,
all
note,
the
new Coen Brothers movie,
yeah,
which is one of the best movies they ever made.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Right.
It's about a guy who's failing at being a folk singer.
Yeah.
No one's going to see Llewyn Davis.
So anyway, so I think Girls has a lot to live up to. And, you know, everyone that criticized
it had a cum
one,
shot, though. It was the first
It did
cum
have
shot.
A cum shot, yes. And mm-hmm. if you get the season one DVD, as I have, you see more of the cum shot. They right. actually edited it down for television, so... anyway, Girls, I'm going to give it another shot. I want to believe that Lena Dunham is talented.
It
and,
got annoying.
It was an aberration that second
yeah,
season.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So anyway, season three. All right, Corey, let's get out of here. Anything
wait,
bad that
oh,
you want to add?
Oh,
I mean,
well,
I,
yeah,
you
know, a couple. Look, sitcoms on network television.
Oh, hit, I didn't even get to all those new
they
ones.
They hit a
yeah,
new
I,
bottom.
I didn't watch those.
Dads.
Yeah.
Unspeakable.
The Millers.
The Millers.
It, yeah.
My mom loves The Millers, oh, and it's horrible. The Goldbergs with Jeff Garland is a big letdown.
You know what? I wish maybe that's one I should check out.
I would like to want like that show, and yeah. I can't get into it. It's got good people. It's got George Segal, okay. Jeff Garland, Wendy McLennan Covey, and as Amy said the other night, I feel I'm being pandered to.
right.
The Millers, the Goldbergs, Dads, horrible. All these shows where guys.
What about Super Fun Night with Rebel Wilson?
Horrible.
I didn't see it.
All of these shows where guys move in with their moms and stuff.
Right.
I'm sorry. I want to break this to you. That's yeah. not a hilarious concept.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an economic reality that sucks for people. 30-year-old people, you know, mid-30s people moving in with their parents.
Yeah.
It's really happening, and no one thinks it's fucking funny.
If you ever know,
it's
yeah.
horrible.
If you know somebody who's actually done that, they'll tell you it's not fun.
It's the worst.
And also, people told me to go back to the Mindy Project that it got better, but again, I think that's for women.
No,
I don't
us.
Have a pussy, so
we
I'm not watching that.
Our testicles prevent us from enjoying the Mindy Project.
I wanted to like Mindy. I like Mindy
confused.
On The Office, but I don't.
No,
I
there's
don't
shows
get that.
For girls.
It's you know, a show for girls.
Look, Project Runway. Go yeah. ahead, watch that all you want, ladies. It's not for us.
For girls.
Speaking of which, the worst show on television.
Yeah.
You could just say daytime television.
Oh well, daytime. Forget about it.
But the worst show on television is Bethany. Absolutely.
I think that says it all.
The worst.
And you don't even need to know why. You just watch it. You can't.
Just it makes the Kardashians look smart.
Right.
It's the most vacuous, right. empty-headed.
Wendy Williams.
Stupid.
Wendy Williams is like Letterman in 86.
She is.
Compared to that.
No,
I mean, it really is.
Wendy Williams is fantastic compared
right.
to the rest of them because
yeah.
she actually makes jokes.
Right. Yeah, Wendy Williams looks like
although
the greatest television show.
That Wendy Williams show, there's yeah. a thing about women and black people and
yeah.
then black women
yeah.
obsessing about people who you shouldn't care about at all.
Right, yeah.
Like, they never sit there and go, wow, you know, I really wonder if Neil deGrasse Tyson has lost his edge.
Yeah.
No, it's all fucking...
It's all Beyonce.
So J-Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all they fucking talk about the stupidest people in the world.
You know...
But at least Wendy makes it kind of entertaining.
Right, yeah.
That Bethany Frankel shit is
yeah.
That's worse than The Chew, which is bad.
The Chew is awful.
The bad... The cooking shows hit the wall.
Yeah, I mean...
I forgot. The almost worse than
Kelly,
that.
Kelly and Michael?
Kelly and Michael is
Kelly
the worst show in the history of television. Without... I don't
care.
Whatever, the worst show ever.
Anyone's an improvement on Regis. By the way, Regis has a show called...
No, he's not.
Regis has a show on Fox Sports 1 called Crowd Goes Wild. A guy that we know, Mike Costa, is one of the it's like Best Damn Sports Show. And Regis is so out of his element on there. They barely use him. He comes and says hi, and then they get rid of Regis after 5 minutes. But
daytime TV
it's bad.
Is bad enough that it makes me want to get a day job. It's really horrible.
Saying a lot.
I swear to God.
All right.
The Today Show...
Well, all of these daytime shows are now just people reading BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that
horrible.
You know, it's NBC News.
I know.
We don't care what
I
the
know.
You know, look,
I know.
The puppy.
It makes you look back
I know.
With a warm eye to
right.
Brian Gumbel and go,
really
he was
does.
Actually doing a good show.
Look, I watch a dog say I love you. I think that's entertaining. But that can stay on the internet.
But
the internet can stay on the internet.
How about, how about OMG Insider?
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, any of that stuff.
Those are the fucking hideous.
I mean, those guys. I mean, even TMZ, which I think they kind of do a good job on that show.
Yeah, a little bit.
That can be like just a little dicky for the sake of being dicky.
TMZ is obnoxious, but at least you might be entertained by their patter. Nothing comes out of the fucking Kevin. What's the one? Kevin. He used to be an NBA guy.
Oh,
is that OMG Insider or is that Extra? Or which one is that?
Extra's
Those
got all Extra's
fucking...
got Mario Lopez, so I don't
oh,
think
Oh God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh God. Yeah, Extra... He's got a talk show.
Oh,
Mario Lopez has an interview show.
Oh, Jesus.
And he
Christ.
Just talks to like Latinos.
Oh, well.
It's like
that's...
Selena Gomez.
Oh, it's on that Latino network.
Iglesias.
Yeah, I have that.
I haven't seen it yet, but I can't wait
either.
To see
and
how
And believe me, I haven't
it.
Even gotten into Fusion TV and their bad shows. I have some of them on the DVR.
Oh, True TV.
True TV.
Worst network on TV.
HLN.
True TV.
I'll see your True TV.
You know what True TV? True TV is amazing because what they do is they take every shitty show like Pawn Stars and they rip it off and make it work. Okay. Their fucking storage show. Storage Wars already fake.
What is theirs? Their Baggage Battles is on Travel.
Yeah, yeah.
So what
True TV has Storage Hunters.
Yeah.
And every locker is faked. What they just literally the prop department comes
storage
in.
Storage Hunters wasn't on. What's the Spike one? American. What is that?
Auction
one?
Hunters.
Auction Hunters.
Whatever the one
so
on True TV.
I think you just take like words Hunters, Stars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And American and just sort of flip the names around.
I gotta tell you.
Just get...
It is the single stupid. Okay.
Right.
There. No, at least on Storage Wars, it looks like maybe that might have been a real locker that they planted something in.
Right.
The one on True TV. They planted the whole locker.
Okay.
It's all fake. It's all like stuffed ostriches
right.
and shit.
I'm going to throw it down right now. I dare you to watch Swamp Pawn. I dare you. Come back and watch Swamp because I can't.
Storage
I
hunters.
Can't. I try. I sit down. I go Swamp Pawn. I'm in. I'm out. I can't. Last 10 seconds. They're literally just taking like they're like cutting up the names of these shows and just rearranging them.
Yeah.
And just making like. Right. Oh, it's American Storage. It's right. You know
Swamp. It's Swamp Busters.
Right. It's Gator Wars. I think Gator Wars is a real
I think Cajun Assholes
Cajun,
is my favorite
I mean,
show.
Whatever.
Can I just tell you something? After 200 years of this country not giving a fuck about Cajuns.
Yeah, exactly.
About they were the lowest rung of the society
Absolutely,
for a reason.
Right.
They're horrible fucking squirrel pelt eating motherfuckers.
Okay.
Go back to the swamp. Okay. No one cares.
I'm going to save television right now. I'm going to make
everything with
a boat. If you own a television show, you're about to make $1 billion. Here's why. There's people in this country called American Indians, and they're completely fucked up. They're completely fucked up. And the television, they're drunk.
Right.
They're drunk
right.
almost all the time.
Right.
They have almost no money. I'm sure they're very colorful. They've got lots of stories. Yeah. They smoke a fucking peace pipe. They stand by the side of the road and sing little drums. It's got it. American Indians.
All right, we'll call the new show Hatchet Men. And we'll set it on a reservation in Wyoming. And it'll be about fucking drunk Indians. I like it. I'm for it. This is my cousin Big Bear. Oh, I fucking... We
Native
Pawn.
No, Corey.
Yeah.
Native
oh,
Pawn.
Yeah, yeah.
There it is.
Where they sell rugs back to us.
Reservation Wars.
I'm
telling you.
How about a show where they sell us rugs?
Whatever.
How about they fucking do that?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Television.
Man, I like it.
Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. You may not know they exist, but they're out there.
Right, right.
They're out there. They're waiting.
I like it.
They're waiting for reality television. Somebody go there.
How about you call
film
it,
them?
You call it Red, White, and Blue. And you just have drunk Indians. This could be a new show. You're right. Because enough with the Cajuns.
Yeah.
Enough with the hillbillies and the lumberjacks.
Hillbillies
get the fuck out of here.
I think it's American Indians. Oh. They are the
I do like
the
Extreme
new...
Cheapskates, though. Okay. I can watch Extreme Cheapskates. That show's fabulous.
Doomsday Preppers. Are you in on that?
A little.
I don't even know what that
is. But there's so many bad reality shows.
There are.
The worst are True TV because they knock off other people's
bad.
That
is a problem. They take the one idea.
Like Detroit. What's the Detroit Pawn? Hardcore Pawn?
Hardcore Pawn.
That's horribly unwatchable.
It is bad. Yeah, that is fake.
Even though it's shot right here in the Motor City.
I probably told the story, but I did. I was booked to do a fake segment that was too fake for them. A segment was created by MC Sampler that I went to play the role.
They didn't buy
and
it.
And they ixnated because it was... Actually, they ixnated because we were trying to sell human body parts, and they said that was fake. All right, let's get out of here. Corey Hall, thank you so much. We could do this for another hour, but we have no time because you have to go watch Hercules or some bullshit like that.
So. I do.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you all for listening. I want to thank everyone that enjoyed Assholes of the Year. I mean, certainly there's a lot of assholery on television, so we're keeping the theme. I think we'll have our best and worst movies next
fucking
time.
Fucking Bethany.
Bethany's awful. A lot of this stuff. So go watch some of our suggestions if you haven't seen them.
Yeah.
Ignore what you choose to ignore.
Please just don't.
Corey,
just don't own a television during the daytime.
Corey will be running away from the Juggalos. You can see him there.
God.
And
Sugar Slam! Hit me with another clip! Hey!
Listen, I...
Nicki Minaj's ass, you could put a whole family of 14 in there.
Come on, give Violent J a break. The guy.
I just don't... You, look, every other amateur comic on TV you shit on.
I do.
But the one who signs you a check every now and then, you fucking
when
kiss his ass.
I have a good time. I've hung out with Violent J. He's a funny guy in person when he wants to be. I like those guys.
I will say,
Kevin Gill's
it's better
friend.
Than Tosh.
Okay.
I like that show better than Tosh.
Having said, they've been
and Anthony Jeselnik.
They were on Tosh.
I like
as
him
well.
Better than them, too.
Yeah, I don't know from Jeselnik. I've
that
seen
that fucking
show,
yeah,
so I don't know what that is. All right, good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Jewel Radio. We'll catch you next time.